Tim. His name is Ryland.
If you guys, and as much as you could, if you could talk into the microphone, because it's a little hard to hear up here, so as best you could.
Is this good? Cool.
Possibly live from the Ted Jones Broadcasting Center in Trophy Club, Texas. It's a definitive, independent podcast covering your Dallas Mavericks in the NBA. It's the Mavericks Outsider Report. I'm your host, Ryland Rowe. I do sports. With me, as always, more importantly, the man at the helm, the mild-mannered reporter, the man of many outlets. You can find him pretty much anywhere the Mavs are. His mama calls him Brian, but you might know him as Ballin'. Ballin' with Brian, Mr. Brian Gutierrez. What's up, homie?
What's up, fellas?
Fellas? What happened to that guy?
Tim? I've noticed that Tim tweets a lot now that the Rangers are done.
Because he's keeping his rage out of the public eye, I think is what he would tell you.
That was interesting. So yeah, episode 77.
Wow, 77, bro.
Lucky number 77. We got a new theme song that we busted out. I like it.
New year. A new year of mavitation is upon us.
Yes.
So, you know, it was time to do a little something different. And here we are.
Ready to go. We've got a lot to really discuss. I forgot. How long does this go? It's pretty much done, right?
I like the jam. It's just here to kind of go.
I like the jam of it, though.
We can go with it however long we need to go with it. Episode 77. What is today? Sunday, October 5th?
6th.
6th?
Yeah.
2013.
Minds were so wrong.
2 years, 1 month, and 1 day from our first show we ever did.
Really?
We did our first Ballin' with Brian show on September 5th, 2010. So 3 years. Shysters.
Dap it. Give me the dap. Boom.
That's a good job, dude.
Nice. Just a little old podcast in a fishbowl, and it's come to this now.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Wow.
Who knew?
I don't think we've gone up in the world a whole lot, but
I think we have.
Whatever, dude. Yeah, we got a
lot
to get into.
We started from the bottom, like Drake would say. We started from the bottom.
Yep.
Now we're here.
And we're kind of still here. we got a lot to get into today, man. We had Media Day earlier this week, so Mavs Media Day is always kind of fun for us to cover because it gives us an intro into the season, but also some grab ass, which is nice.
Your baby just heard you cuss.
Going to learn those words very early. A return to NBA Nuggets.
Yeah.
And just a lot of other good stuff, man.
The Nuggets are flowing. We might have some quick hit Nuggets we need to jump on.
Thanks
jump
everybody
on.
Who's streaming. This is definitely a low time for streaming just because Cowboys post-game nuclear detonations going on
this
right now.
This is a nice sports walk reprieve for
you,
though.
So if you guys are listening, we appreciate you wanting to take a sports walk with us. For everyone else who listens on the podcast, then I'm sorry for having to listen to Norman Donovan or Brennan Skin wade through the I can't even imagine. I would not take a call. We were just having this conversation before we started. If I was doing a Cowboys post-game show, I would take exactly zero calls.
I would screen the calls and make sure they're fed directly to Ben, just to make sure that the screening's done properly.
And then Norm on the other side of the dial, that would just, let's go ahead and cause a complete blow-up. If we're going to do it, let's make it funny. All right, dude. What's up first?
It's a good distraction because you feel the pain, but then, hey, there's a preseason game tomorrow.
I was going to ask you. I got to dirk this thing.
You're going? Awesome.
Yeah, man, I'm going. First game of the year, and it's on our plan. We reduced our plan. We're not doing 23 games anymore. We're doing 10 games, but even so, tomorrow is one of the 10 is preseason.
So really?
Kind of blows, yeah. Wow. Whatever. It's all good. All right. It's all good. I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan. I'll support the team.
You got the theme song and everything.
Yeah.
So there's preseason tomorrow, but leading up to that was Media Day, which you already talked about. It's kind of a fun way to little show everyone off to the media, and then they go from station to station doing all these little advertisements
saying
and promotions.
The same thing to every media outlet, answering the same question. But, you know, hopefully we have a few nuggets. Brian very nicely broke down the audio, and I was going to break it into clips, but I didn't have time, so I'm just going to leave it up to you to tell me which ones of these are worth us talking about, and we'll just go straight to them. It'll be new to me.
It would be new to you?
So it's going to be new to me, so I'll be able to give you my just immediate
first
reaction.
Do you have the audio up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have all four clips from Rick Carlisle, Durky Dirk, Jose Calderon, and Monte Basketball Ellis.
We got to save the Monte
basketball.
Yeah,
we're going to go into him last.
Let's start with Carlisle because he kind of had a pretty consistent tone through his old his spiel.
Rick did.
He didn't throw any haymakers at anyone on Media Day. I don't think he really does. He kind of plays it low-key on Media Day.
You have a highlight here for digging to FTM for opponent's quote.
That was me. That's my own little my project for a later
date. You want to touch on the two clips about defense?
Yes,
because he emphasized the dog mess.
I think he talked for about 15 minutes, and about 16 minutes of it was defense related. He just found an extra minute of time to just chug in some defense talk. So let's go with that first one. We're talking about defense.
It will.
The internet will load. Oh, I asked that question.
Well, we have to establish ourselves as a solid defensive team. You know, we were okay last year, but we weren't good enough. I think we finished 18th or 19th in the league. We've got to get way up above that, and I know that we can do it. It's my responsibility to make sure our guys know how important it is. We'll have to make the sacrifices necessary to do it, and you know, along with being better defensively and doing a better job rebounding the ball, we've got to do better in close games. I mean, you know, when you lose 8 out of 11 overtime games like we did last year and lose the first 7 in a row, you know, you're going to put yourselves up against it. And we did. We were fighting out of a hole all year long. So I love close games, and they're becoming more of a reality in this league because of, I think the CBA has influenced, you know, the levels of talent evening out, and that's exciting. But you know, you've got to execute and you got to perform in those situations.
So, I forgot I asked that question.
That's intelligent on your part.
People, well,
actually, you know the coach wants to talk about defense.
It's
that's
a softball.
Good, that's a good suck up question. CC, hey Rick, I see the world the way you do.
But I remember that I actually talked to Rick a week before that, because I was working on a story for something that's going to come up later. And the thing I remembered him talking about once we started to talk about the team was, he said, offensively, we should be very good. And then he just kind of kept on going, and I was waiting for him to talk about defense. And then we went off on different stuff, so I didn't get back to it. So I figured media day would be a good day to kind of circle back around and talk about that other end of the court.
Well, and when we talked about the offensive acquisitions this year, we talked about one of the things, weighing the pros and cons of guys like Calderon and Ellis and Devin Harris, to a certain degree, were, well, those guys aren't going to defend. And did we have skin on when he said what we were saying, which was, who the hell defended last year?
Right.
Nobody did. So at least these guys can score. So I guess the reason I mentioned that is because this team is going to have its work cut out for it defensively. Other than Sean Marion and, you know, the 20% of D'Alembert that's going to be playing at full throttle, either because of age or because he's D'Alembert. Other than that, there's not anybody that really has a natural, both an experience and a natural defensive sort of approach to the game. So what this reminds me of, honestly, with Rick emphasizing this so heavily, it reminds me of that camp in 2002-03 where the Mavericks the previous year had gotten run out of the gym by Sacramento. Remember, they had the big banner up in the practice court down there that said 412 dunks and 87 layups or whatever it was, you know?
Yeah.
And all, even Nelly, all he talked about was defense. And that team had a really good defensive year in terms of team defense at the end of the day. Remember when they beat Sacramento in Game 7 of the semifinals, they had like a fourth quarter run where they didn't allow Sacramento to get a basket in the last 7 minutes or something like that. Anyway, that was a team that if you looked at the roster, you'd say, this team's dog crap on defense. And that's kind of what we have here.
Yeah.
And so I kind of see that this is a similar approach from Rick, is that we're just going to talk about defense all day, because this is the only chance we have at being decent at it, is if all we do is talk about it and then rely on the nature of things for them to score.
They just have to kind of buy into it at that point. And you brought up D'Alembert. If you can go to the next cut of, or actually it's labeled as D'Alembert, and I lost it already.
D'Alembert and defense?
Yeah. If you go to that one, that'll...
So self-explanatory, Brian.
I'm sorry.
You make such good notes.
If you can go up to that one, that'll go a little bit more in depth about defense some more, and looking at it in a different angle and how Carlisle will mention.
Defensive stoppers. I mean, Sean Marion is still one of the best guys in the game. You know, Vince has got good analytic numbers on defense. Dirk's better than you think he is on defense. But we don't, you know, we don't have any first or second team all defensive teams on our guys on our team. So we have to do it collectively, and we have to establish a covenant that it's going to be important. And I've got to have the stomach, you know, to make sure that the guys are doing the things to sacrifice to put us in a position to be a lot better than we were last year. And that's, you know, that's got to be a big part of what we're doing.
Do you know if you'll have Devin Harrison?
Sorry,
Jeff Kaplan.
Little slow on the pause there.
But I like the covenants idea of it.
He's like going to make them like put their blood in a vial all together.
All right, guys.
Or something.
First practice. Turn off the lights. I light a match.
He gets it. This is coach speak for. We have the potential to be really crappy on defense if I don't really bend over backwards to ensure that we're at least not really crappy. Best case scenario, they're average. If this team comes out average defensively, I'm bouncing off the walls.
And they were below average last year.
If you're gonna get to that point, you're gonna have to be.
She wants to talk about defense.
You're gonna have to be. I don't remember. I was talking to a baby. anyway, dude. So Rick, we love him. He's gonna emphasize defense. You got anything from Dirk or Jose Calderon you want to get to?
Can we go back to Rick real quick on the last one?
Oh, yeah.
Because he kind of goes off on a little cussing rant.
Oh, we love that.
About Eddie Sefko asked Rick about how Dirk was as a father now, if it's kind of changed his perspective or if he's going to maybe focus more on being a father versus basketball life. And Carlo had a pretty quick reply to that when it comes up.
On life. Work or everything else?
You know, if you're asking me if he's settling into fatherhood and is not as into basketball, I'll tell you categorically the answer is fucking ain't right, no. I mean, you know, this is serious business, you know. I mean, it's been a tough couple years for him. You know, the 0-12 season was dicey with the knee thing, and then coming into the last year, you know, it seemed like it was okay, and then all of a sudden in Barcelona, we're sitting there before the game, and the thing puffed up, and we held him out of the game, and that was it. That was the last time he played until, you know, December 27th, I believe, or whenever it was, and so or just 23rd.
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good.
That's true, though. It was December 22nd because I was coming back from visiting my parents prior to Christmas. And I heard the beginning of the game at a gas station at the tollway and Arapahoe.
I remember your tweet, the Daniel LaRusso is going to fight.
Yes, that was from there. I was at that gas station.
Yes. That was hilarious.
I love it when Rick cusses because Rick's real.
He speaks that real talk.
Keeping it real, Rick. What about Dirk? We got some Dirk humor?
He's got some humor because he was asked about how fatherhood's kind of changed him at this point. And you don't really get to hear the word you're going to hear a whole lot in a press conference in this description by Dirk. But that's what makes Dirk Dirk.
I'm sorry? Well, not really yet. I think that's going to take some time. You know, I don't have boobs, so I can't really help her that much yet. But hopefully in a couple of years.
Hopefully in a couple of years, he's going to get boobs. Maybe,
you never know. You just never know.
I mean, I know he's European and all, but I don't know if that's necessarily a common thing. He's going to really have to shop plastic surgeons.
It can happen,
to
though.
Find one that'll do that.
I mean, Kobe's going to Germany for knee stuff, so maybe there's something out there in Germany back home he can find something as a quick fix. I thought the other kind of interesting thing was that I think it was Tim McMahon talked about, it's the third clip, talking about kind of motivation and everything, that Dirk's name's been kind of forgotten over this offseason, this summer, and Cuban was really saying, you guys are forgetting about Dirk, you don't know what he can do as a player, he's using all this speculation that he's done.
Well, you know, I think professional athletes, competitors, they always find ways to motivate themselves. You know, when I first got here, it was like, he can't do it, he's not ready for the NBA. Then once I establish myself, then he can't win it all. So I think there's always stuff you can use as a motivation, and competitors use it the right way. So yeah, I'm fired up, and hopefully I can show it there. I can still put up a decent season. And Even when I came back last year, I felt like I had some good games, but I want to be a little more consistent again. I want to help the guys night in, night out, and not, you know, have a good game here and then a subpar game. So I want to make sure I'm there for the guys every night again. So that's going to be a piece of work.
I have a prediction.
He's going ham this year?
Yeah. Dirk's going to silence a lot of people this year, assuming he's healthy.
Yeah.
Assuming he's
healthy. That's a big caveat to it.
You know, I mean, hopefully, I find it hard to believe that he would be less healthy than he's been the last 2 years, but he is that much older. But assuming he stays healthy, I think for what people, compared to what people are expecting, he's going to blow the expectations out of the water. And I think people are going to be like, oh, yeah, he's Dirk. I forgot. Now, is he going to average 26 a game? No.
No.
No. I mean, because his minutes are going to be down. But I think we're going to see good, efficient basketball. He's going to have a little more bounce in his step again because he's finally right in his lower half.
He had a whole summer clean of not having to do any basketball.
Yeah. I'm just saying I will not be surprised if this is just gangbusters Dirk and this, you know, some vintage Dirk games along the way, moments here and there. And the question is just going to be what the what the supporting cast can do and what the defense can do, because I don't want to lose a bunch of games 107 to, 110.
That would suck. One of the guys that's going to make like life easier for Dirk is Jose Calderon, and that can make Dirk very efficient when you have a point guard that can work as well as he can. And one of the things Calderon was asked about is how it would be working with someone like with Dirk and how Dirk would make things easier for him on the other side.
Sure. What are some of the things that you can do to help his game and also he can do to help your game?
My job this year is going to be try to get the ball to the right guys in the right moment, try to know what they want the ball, get everybody involved. So it's going to be with Dirk, it's going to be with Monta, and with everybody. So that's what I do. That's I'm a point guard, I'm a pass first point guard, and that's going to be my job. I think after that, with all these good players, for sure they're going to have the chance to shoot the ball and spot up shooting and all that stuff, but I'll try to get everyone in the right positions.
All those years in Toronto and then playing for that Detroit team, coming to...
Sorry.
No, it's all right.
A little slow on the close there. He is not a question mark for me, but now that he's tweaked his hammy, I'm skirt.
Well,
me feel better, Brian, because this guy's got miles.
No, he does.
He plays international ball like every other weekend. He's playing like pickup games with like, I don't know. Who's someone cool from Spain? I don't know.
Ricky Rubio
and like
the Gasols.
The Gasol brothers are like running
Rudy
games
Fernandez. In their old He's pretty cool. He's pretty cool.
That guy's a punk ass. So I'm scared because of that. So I need you to make me feel better. If it wasn't for that tweaked hammy, I'd be like, all right, let's see what a bus driver that can shoot can do for this offense. But I'm scared now.
He basically played the Eurobasket tournament until September 22nd. So that's pretty long to play basketball. It was about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks of continuous basketball. International play is a little bit more open. And he's an older guy, so they're being conservative. The way I would look at it is, man, this guy stubbed his toe. We need to just be...
I hope so.
We just need to be conservative.
I hope so.
He's like, oh, this hurt a little bit.
I just remember a similar toe stubbing in 2009 with Sean Marion. And mm-hmm. That entire year, he never quite got right.
Right. I know.
And it helps that he has aged in reverse. Like
he's
Benjamin
going Benjamin. Button.
So as he was healing, he also was getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
So it accelerated his healing process. But you remember that.
No, I do.
That was touch and go. This is different. Calderon obviously doesn't rely on his athleticism to any resemblance of a degree that Marion does. But, you know.
I think I can understand there's some concern with his age and that this is already popping up. But he's had to play some continuous basketball overseas. And I think Carlisle recognizes the goal isn't to have him ready right now. The goal is to have him ready at the end of October when the basketball is important. So if you can get some work and practice in, figure out how you want to mesh on offense, that'll work out great. But he doesn't have to really push the tempo with this team. Even though the team wants to push the tempo, he doesn't really have to do that. He just has to direct traffic and spot up.
Yeah, if he can continue to spot up and hit threes at the rate that he has in recent past, then that's going to alone will be
46% last year.
That's crazy. He can't do that again. But give me 40 and I'll be jumping up and down.
Right.
I'll be bouncing off the walls. I think I'm going to say that every segment. Hey, man, we got 3 minutes to talk about Monte basketball, and
okay.
I think that's more than enough time. Tell me about Monte basketball.
You want to go to the clip where, of course, the master instigator of instigators, yeah. Tim McMahon.
One of my personal favorites.
A colleague of mine that I've spent a lot of time working with over this past summer. He likes to poke the bear, and he found a new bear to poke, and he wanted to inquire about Monte Ellis, and this was basically the end result of that.
Yeah, I don't get into that. Like I said, I just need to get back to, you know, attacking the basket, taking my shots at the right time, and continue to do what I do and ask what's being asked of me.
At some point, Dirk will not be the leading scorer of this team.
You can stop right there. So you can see Tim starting to poke.
Yep.
He's starting to poke
a
little
prodding.
Bit.
He's prodding.
And then the second part of it in that next clip will really keep going, because Tim was like, okay, I didn't really get the answer I really wanted. This stick is kind of dull. Oh, I found a new one. Let me go ahead and poke again.
Any more? Was your shot selection, is that something that, you know, you look back on over the last few years and say, you know, your shot selection needs to get better, or were you put in positions where you had to take a lot of tough shots?
I don't think so. You know, I'm going to get criticized for, you know, what I do anyway. So the only thing I could do, laugh it off, because there's a lot of guys take a lot of bad shots in this league. A lot of bad shots. Don't nobody want to talk about that, but everybody talk about the shots that Monte take. All thing I'm going to do is take the punches and prove everybody wrong.
I mean, I understand there's a lot of guys, but you happen to play now for the team that I cover.
What I'm saying is, I'm going to play Monte basketball, and if y'all want to criticize, I'm beyond that. Officially, I don't even look at that.
What is Monte basketball?
Getting out, running, taking the shots that's appropriate, and attack the basket more. I think over the past few years, I got to a point when I was settling for jump shots. I mean, at first I attacked the basket. Never was the high-end guy to shoot threes. I think I put a lot of more threes into my game. So I'm going to get back to attacking the basket, getting out, be that one-man fast break, and bring pace to this team.
Love it. I love Tim McMahon. I want to throw a radio critique in here. For those of you who are fans of ESPN 103.3, at some point in the near or distant future, nobody really knows. At some point, you're going to turn over to that station, and it's not going to be what you used to listen to. And just know that people that wear business casual to work every day probably made a conscious decision not to put him on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, look, he's somebody I would listen to because of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I need a curmudgeon.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's really good at what he does.
Two great follow-up questions based on ad hoc. I love it. And you know what? I actually didn't mind Monte's answer. His answers were good, and I don't mind a little bit of, hey, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, because you know what? You know what a big problem has been for the Mavericks for the past two seasons of terrible disappointments for us, relatively? We've been trying to kind of force guys into roles that they don't necessarily work in.
Right.
We've been trying to make point guards out of combos. We've been trying to make defenders out of whatever. If he's going to go play Monte basketball, he's going to go be Monte Ellis. That's all I need him to be.
Mm-hmm.
The team will be better if he's just Monte Ellis. He's not going to be Gary Payton and stop everybody.
Right.
Go be Monte Ellis. That's great. Let's do that. Everybody needs to do that. And if the coach can't take 12 guys doing that and make something out of it, then, you know, you did the best you can do, and we know we have a great coach, so we're either going to sink or swim with the guys we have. So I don't see any point in gnashing of teeth and wailing over trying to make a guy be something he's not, because we've been there and we've done that, and I don't want to go mess through it again.
And I think they know how they want to channel that, make him aggressive on offense, push the ball. Carlos talked about it off and on that he might be the guy initiating the offense and Calderon spotting up. I know it was just a scrimmage this past weekend, but we saw on a fast break, on a 3-on-2 fast break, Monte's pushing the ball. What is he doing? He's looking at Dirk the entire time.
Love it.
Waiting to see what Dirk is going to
do. Man knows where his bread is buttered.
He knows where it's buttered, and then it ended up in an easy basket, but It's going to be fun to watch. Monte basketball is going to be fun to watch.
It is. And let's get a, assuming he has some good moments here in the early going, let's get a Detroit PA imitator to say, Monte basketball. You know, like that guy does.
Right.
That'd be funny. Okay, we're going to take a break, Brian.
All right, sounds good. And then we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to your heart that you've wanted to talk about for a while.
Which is funny because you sprung this on me and I didn't expect it, so I'm very interested.
Well, you told me to take
yes,
the notes.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. Mavericks Outside Report, episode 77.
Double seven,
baby. If I seem a little synaptically challenged today...
Is it your Mr. Miyagi shirt?
No, that makes me awesome. I went to the fair, State Fair of Texas today.
And what did you consume today?
Fried Frito pie.
That sounds good. I've actually been wanting some Frito
fried
pie.
Fried Mexican firecrackers, which were kind of like a jalapeno and cheese. Kind of had a little green chili flavor in there too, though. A bite of fried banana pudding that Courtney had, which was really good.
Good.
And the fried Cuban roll, which was the winner of winning everything at the state fair or whatever. Oh, yeah.
This year's edition of the winner?
Yeah. So I did that, and it really slowed me down, bro. I'm drinking water. Those of you streaming the video, you can see I'm drinking water. Sometimes I drink a beer.
This show is sponsored by
water.
I feel
like I need to drink nothing but water for like 3 days now.
You got to get that water weight back in you.
I got to get that water weight back in me. Okay, Brian. I had this topic titled Credential Police. We're going to talk about the Credential Police.
This might be a new thing for you as the Twitter critic.
To add Credential
another
Police?
Piece, yeah, to your, another part of your resume is that on the last episode, you told me to make a note for the next time that we have an episode, we need to talk about why certain people have credentials. And you're going to have to carry the lead on most of this because I'm not going to really hammer people that need to be hammered.
Oh, I don't.
I know there's people that need to be hammered.
I don't want to talk bad about anybody. I don't. But when we were going over the, what's it called? The introductory press conference. There was a gentleman there that acted, you know, he seemed very out of it. He called DeJuan Blair Javon Bear.
Do you have those cuts of what DeJuan was actually called?
I do somewhere. I'm about to look for him if you can vamp for me here.
Yeah. I want to say it was, I think the guy's first name is Royce that we're harping on. I was going to say Royce Webb, but that's definitely not right because that's from ESPN. And then I was going to say Royce White. That's definitely wrong as well because that was the draftee.
I'll wait to come back at some point, so I'm just excited to be back and ready to contribute. So thank
you. And put Javon Bear.
And look, it's okay. I have never done that job. I don't plan on doing it. Unlike the Twitter critic, where I think I have a pretty strong Twitter game, mm-hmm. I'm not a press conference guy, so I'm not going to necessarily criticize. But it was just funny because he was having trouble. He had another question prior to, and he kind of had shake voice, which, I mean, you had shake voice when you started.
Yeah.
You're nervous. You know, yeah. I get it.
Royce Fisher, Irish Sports Radio. My question is...
But where's he from again?
Say it. Can you bloat it up again?
Royce Fisher, IRS Sports Radio.
IRS? Is he from the IRS?
I don't think so.
Is he trying to audit Mark Cuban?
Well, maybe he's trying to do some stuff right now because the government shut down.
Anyway, so this is more just an example. Maybe he's trying to. He's bored. Government
shut
down.
You got time. You got time on your hands, man.
How many media outlets are there,
There's
really?
There's way too many.
And thank the Lord because, you know, you got your foot in the door here by getting a credential as mm-hmm. Mavs Moneyball.
Mm-hmm.
But look, now that your foot's in the door.
When that door needs to close.
Let's be honest. Mavs Moneyball doesn't need a credential.
It doesn't
need a credential, dude. And they don't need locker room access. People don't come into my office and ask me how I did. Granted, nobody's interested in my job. But it seems like you would have player availability on a schedule that doesn't involve coming in when they're trying to shower and get dressed and go home at 11 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? Like,
but that's a fine line. You have to figure out when it can be done then.
Yeah, I realize it's a logistical challenge. Right. So, you know, it's hard, but it almost just seems like, I don't know. I just wonder. Mark Cuban is such a out-of-the-box thinker, and, you know, he tried to clamp down. Remember the guy we were just praising, Tim McMahon,
mm-hmm.
back in about 06,
That was the first real brush up.
He decided to draw an imaginary line between journalists and bloggers, which that line is even more blurry now than it ever was,
mm-hmm.
and say, I'm not going to let bloggers in, mainly because Tim had pissed him off about something.
Right.
And now Tim is ESPN, so, I mean, you know, you got to give a credential to ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's funny because there's so many outlets. I mean, here's a guy, we don't even know what the outlet is, and he's there with shake voice asking Javon Bear a question. So it was just funny, but it led me to ask. So, are there people that you don't even know like who they're with?
Yes,
and you're like looking at their little neck mm-hmm. lanyard thing, trying to read the name.
Yes,
and when you read the name, you still don't know who the hell they're with.
Yes, I would say out of the collective 100% of the media that's there, there's at least 50% that I have no idea who they're with. 50%.
Wow, and who's reading those publications?
Man,
I don't know. Or who are they with?
But well, it's up to Sarah, really. Sarah Melton,
yeah,
the PR.
Yeah, and I'm sure she gets a lot of requests that she has to give the Heisman to. So it's right. very. That's why it makes me interested to know. Phase two of this, we're going to wrap this up and talk about how will they feed, or rather, how will they defend. And
we've started talking about it a little bit.
Step two of this is going to be, I want you to find a list of the actual, just start taking scribble on your iPhone, and in like 3 months... when you've got a list of them, we're just going to read them off just because it'll be funny because it's going to be a bunch of IRS Incorporated.
Royce Fisher. The IRS Network.
I mean, I would not let anybody named it. I think it was RS, actually.
RS Network?
RS Sports Network. So it's like him and his buddy Steve started a website.
Regional Sports Network.
But is that real?
No.
Cause
I'm making that up.
What region? How will they defend?
The South.
How will they defend, Brian?
It's going to, like we've already talked about, it's going to take Rick Carlisle getting them in a circle and just saying, guys, look at this match. We're going to have to convince ourselves that we have to believe in the other side of the court.
It's going to be one of those things where it has to be a 1-10 long rotation to a man, overt commitment to the team scheme. Hi.
She loves a nap.
To the team, yeah, clearly. To the team's scheme, because everybody's going to have to be picking up for everybody else's shortcomings.
Right.
Because other than Marion, there's nobody here that just blows your hair back on defensive skill set.
Well, that you know of. Somebody
might surprise you.
Dallin Barrett is known as a defensive guy.
If he exceeds expectations relative to playing time and energy level, he could be a net positive for sure.
Devin has shown some flashes defensively. He takes a charge, but he gets hurt like within two weeks.
He's Mr. Glass. We know this. We know what he's about. He'll get you some steals.
Right. The jury's clearly going to...
No,
go ahead.
Rick was bitching about steals.
Yes.
In one of the clips I heard from Media Day that we didn't go through, Rick was saying, we got guys that can get you some steals, but we got to be more than just that.
Right.
And that's also a warning shot to Monte, because mm-hmm. Monte loves to gamble.
He gambles.
And look, there's teams and schemes that you can gamble with, but with what we've got back there...
Jason Terry was ready to gamble whenever.
Let's not gamble too much.
Right.
We have to be very selective with our gambling.
If you look at it compared from last year to this year, it was a massive revolving door in terms of perimeter defense with Darren Collison and O.J. Mayo. You're probably going to have the same thing this year with Jose Calderon and Monte Ellis.
Oh, yeah.
But like we've talked about, you'll take that a little bit more if you can get more offensive efficiency.
And they are smarter.
Yes.
And being smarter and being more of a veteran translates on both ends of the court. And if what you're – I mean, I'm sure, I'm positive of it, that they're going to harp team defense and schemes and situations like crazy. So if that's the case, and if they do a good job of teaching it and do the right emphasis in the right areas, then those guys should be able to do a little better than what we believe their physical aptitude to be, because their smarts and veteranness and the coaching staff combined should put them in a better position to not look terrible all the time.
Yeah.
How's that for...
It makes sense. Put that on a poster.
For couching your expectations. But that's where we're at.
I think the big thing is just making sure you funnel guys where they need to go. If you're going to be a swinging gate, at least swing them to where your help is supposed to be.
And don't be a swinging D. Nelly doesn't like that.
No one really likes that. Who actually likes that?
Not me.
Not me.
Not my thing.
Not me.
Not my thing.
It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of commitment, and that's what the preseason is all about. You've got to get these guys to buy in. And I'm going to expect Carlisle to be talking about defense 75% of the time if he's allowed to.
It's probably going to beat everybody down, but it needs to happen.
It definitely needs to happen.
Speaking of buying, Brian.
Good job.
It's time to go back to an old MOR segment. So old that the first time we played Brian's little intro clip, we like redlined every, like the board started smoking and it was...
Ryland ran out of the room.
I lost 14% of my hearing. It's buy, sell, or hold. Or just buy and sell. We don't allow holds anymore. Why don't we allow holds anymore?
We don't ride the fence.
We don't ride the fence, except unless I'm picking...
picking a playoff
unless
series.
I'm picking a series, then I have to ride the fence.
Listen to this guy in the middle.
He's fired up. He's like, all right, to sell some stock, bitches.
Exactly. So Chris
just all suited up.
We did this last year with some of the new guys, and you kind of have to pick your guy. And the first one I'm going to go with is Monte Ellis or Jose Calderon. If you had to buy one of them and sell the other, what would you do?
Dude, that's tough. Why are you springing this one on me right out the box?
I'm in you
heavy.
Told
you I have synaptic problems today because of all the fried food.
I'm going to wake you up.
System. Damn. I hate to do this to Jose, but I got to buy Monte because we got to have somebody that can put the ball in the blanking basket, and we know he can do that.
Yeah.
Bob Ortegal called me yesterday.
Was he wearing his funky shoes?
He was wearing some pimp-ass Stacey Adams, and I said, Bob, is Monte going to put the ball in the
basket?
Was
he at Lombardo?
And he said he was at Lombardo Custom Apparel getting measured. I would never be at Lombardo. I wear a Mr. Miyagi t-shirt. And I said, can Monte put the ball in the basket? He said, yeah, he can do that. So I'm down with Monte. I hate to do that to Jose, but I'm buying Monte.
I'm going to buy Jose.
Just to be opposite?
I need to be contrarian a little bit, but you need that offensive efficiency.
That's true.
You need that in the worst way possible. So
he's older though, and he's got this glass hamstring now.
It's not a glass.
He's
just
got hamstring cancer.
I'm just calling it a stub toe.
He's this Euro guy that's been playing 38,000 minutes a summer, and he's got hamstring cancer.
I think you're scared of Spaniards right now because of what Rudy Fernandez did to your heart. He hurt your heart in a bad way.
I had forgotten about him until five minutes ago. I had forgotten. So
I need some
rapidly.
Cool. Who are some cool Spaniards that he played with this summer? Rudy Fernandez. Like, that was one of them.
Whatever.
Sergio Rodriguez.
I bet Rudy has a hot girlfriend/wife though.
Or he might have both. He might have both.
He's a basketball player, probably. Has
so I think we're split. We'll go with that.
You know what, though? Honestly, without me being comedic about Jose, assuming he doesn't have hamstring cancer, if you think the Mavs are going to be at all better this year, you got to be able to buy both of them.
Yeah.
So we're smart.
Do you buy the rookies that the Mavs have on board this year? Do you buy or sell the rookies? When we're talking about rookies, we're talking about Shane Larkin, Ricky Lito, and Gal Meckel. Do you buy or sell the rookies this year? Because they've had some bad luck with rookies over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Or 20 years.
I'll tell you, I'm intrigued because of the whole... Remember we talked last episode about Lito's contract?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they were willing to extend a contract like that to him, even though it's advantageous to them to do so. The fact that they're willing to go there with him.
And he's getting like 1.2, 1.5 guaranteed.
Really intrigues
in the
crap
years.
Out of me. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he didn't play or whatever after high school, he's this unknown quantity. That could say a whole lot about our scouting department, either in a positive or negative light, depending on how things work out. And then obviously Shane Larkin, I think a lot of people were excited about him, but with the injury to him and the unknowns and the fact that there's a guy named Gal, I have to sell. Recent history tells me I have to sell. As much as we love the Mavericks and as much as I will be forever thankful for Dirk from rescuing this city from what has been since then an absolutely terrible sports life, they have not drafted well as of recent, really since Josh Howard. And that marriage soured. But that's it.
Soured in a hurry.
Yeah, but that was it. You know, his first 4 years were solid, and then it went to crap.
And then they found a nice guy undrafted in Marquise Daniels.
That 1 year, yeah. You know. 2003 was a great year for them.
So and you're selling.
It's been pretty crappy, so I got to sell. I'm intrigued. I'm not throwing dirt on their grave, but I think I got to sell.
I kind of think you are because you're selling them. I'm going to go ahead and buy.
I'm selling them to you because you're buying them.
I'm going to buy them.
I'm making money is what I'm doing.
You pretty much are, but then you're going to be coming back to me in about 2 months.
Like, I'm making deals over here.
You are. You're a stockbroker. I'm going to buy because I think long-term, Ricky's, like you've said, he's intriguing because he's an unknown prospect. There's a lot of potential. he was definitely impressive in this scrimmage because it was kind of a free form, do what you want kind of thing, and that kind of lack of structure works well for a player like him.
Yeah.
He's a guy that can shoot the ball. I'm impressed with his passing off the dribble. He is going to command, if he continues to develop, then he'll earn the respect of the defense with his shooting, but then he can dribble and pass. Shane's going to be interesting to see how he can do. He's kind of behind the eight ball a little bit with that ankle injury right before the summer league.
Yeah, that sucks. I think that he had an opportunity to
instill some confidence.
Yeah, just get his sea legs and maybe actually see the court a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now, by the time he's ready, season's going to be going. Everything's going to kind of be on its own flow. And that's just that's a hard place for a rookie to be.
It is. And then I try to keep my predictions or prognostications low in terms of most things, but I've been a fan of the guy named Gal.
You are, dude. You stay very...
I'm even keel.
Super even keel. You might be like the most even keel person I know.
Sweet.
But you are also always optimistic about the Mavs.
I am, but it's a lot easier than being pessimistic.
Well, yeah.
But
just admit, if you like a team, it's okay to be optimistic.
But it's been...
Not everybody can be Tim McMahon.
That's true. Not many people.
There's not room in this
be.
World for very many of them. That we need both sides.
But one of the things that's messed with my even keel meter is Gal, the guy named Gal. He's...
That had to be at the end of Norm's draft poem.
It had to be. Or if it's not, that's a drop ball opportunity right there.
Yep.
He has to work on his shooting. He's better than Dominique Jones as a shooter, which is a very promising thing, but that's not hard to do.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you saw my neighbor John, he's been fixing his mailbox today. He's in his late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Better shooter than Dominique Jones.
Is there a basketball goal out there?
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I'm just saying
he is. But he's impressive as hell in the pick and roll. And that's one of the big things that we're going to have to watch out for now in these first 2 weeks or first week, even starting tomorrow, because I'm pretty sure he's going
to
be your starting point guard tomorrow night.
I was about to say, I will watch for it tomorrow because Devin Harris out, yeah. Calderon out.
Larkin out. So the guy named Gal.
All we did in July, like first week of July, was bitch about how the Mavs went out and signed 4 point guards and nothing else.
And now they only have
three
one.
Of them are hurt.
Yeah. So that's probably going to be, along with what Monte does tomorrow, are probably going to be the two most intriguing things to look at in terms of preseason game number one.
Good point. Who's up next?
Let me see. Are you buying? He's got a new deal now. He's locked up for 2 years. Are you buying Brandon right now? He's added the story on him. He's added 15 pounds of muscle.
You hear that about guys all the time. That may well be
best
the case.
Basketball shape of his life.
That may well be the case.
I'm making that part up.
Good, you know, if he worked harder in the summer or changed things up a little, good for him. You know, always want guys to improve, but at a certain age, you know, guys are who they are. This gets back to my previous point. I see no point in trying to make him not be who he is, but I've always been a buy on Brandon Wright.
You're a fan.
I am a fan, but we had a very deep conversation with the TV voice of the Mavericks, Mark Folliwell, about this, which is that he is a very effective matchup player.
Yes.
And he is a matchup player, period. And unless that 15 pounds of muscle is just like the game changer for him, which I have yet to see that be that way for any guy. It's just always – that's October headline you hear for players here and there. Unless he's breaking the mold there, he's still going to be a matchup player, but I will take him. He's got things – we'll go back to this before. He's got things the Mavericks don't have. He can get easy buckets. He's very athletic. He's got length. The older and the smarter he gets, he's going to be a weak side shot blocking presence just because of the length that he's got. And, you know, as he gets more experience, particularly if we have a little bit better team defense in general, which with the added experience on this squad compared to last year, maybe that's in the offing. So
I think it's
I'm buying on him because they got him. And he hung around. Remember, we talked about this last episode. He hung around until the Mavericks got their cap situation straightened out and used up their space so that they could use their bird rights on him.
Yeah.
And I love that. He wanted to be here. He and Carlisle have not necessarily always been best buds. They aren't going out for beer
if
after
you
the
throw
game.
Out a sniff of Troy Murphy, Carlisle gets seduced a little bit
yeah.
and then forgets about Brandon Wright.
Yeah, I mean, he had him buried for portions last year, but he wanted to be here. That means that there's good things going on with that relationship, him and the rest of the staff, the team, whatever. And with all the turnover and all the other crap that's gone on around this team since they won the title, I'll take it. I'm glad. I'm buying strong.
Oh, wow, buying strong. That's strong.
Strong to very strong.
I will buy, but I will not buy as strongly as you do.
Fair.
But I do like the upside of what he's established here in Dallas. There was definitely momentum during the last portion of last year as the Mavs were trying to make their push, and Wright was a big part of that. He was efficient as a scorer. He was getting more minutes.
Yeah.
He was actually starting to show some signs of being a rebounder.
The games they played their best last year were the games that he showed up and had 16 points and played 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Every time it was that way. Now, granted, again, like we talked about, it was dictated by matchups. Mm-hmm. You couldn't roll him out there every game. Remember there was a game he got rolled out in and it was just god-awful. Was it Boston?
I think it was Utah.
Utah.
He did well against Boston, then we wanted to see against Utah.
Yes, yes, that's right. Anyway, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
But, you know, older, wiser, learn a little more veteran in your brain. Maybe you can get a little better in things like that, but a leopard doesn't change its spots typically.
That's true. Last one. I started you with the heavy. I'm going to end you with the heavy. Do you buy or sell that the Mavericks are a playoff team?
I buy it.
I buy it, too.
I buy it, no question. Assuming health.
Yeah.
Health is the big factor. They didn't eliminate themselves until there were like three games left last year.
Right.
With Dirk missing a third of the year, really a little more than
he missed the first 27.
He missed the first 27 and then played like dog crap for like another 15.
Right.
Getting back in normal basketball shape. And he had terrible guard play. Terrible guard play.
Mike James guard play.
Terrible guard play. And we still eliminated ourselves with like three games. What was it? Maybe 3 games ago?
No more than 5.
3 to 5. Yeah, it was right there. So, yes, if Dirk plays 70 games this year.
And they lost
75 games, they're in the playoffs. Now, after that, I'm not making any promises.
Right. That's all about matchups at that point.
They may well be first round fodder. But for where they came from last year and for what people are putting on that team, if they end up being first round fodder, you might not necessarily consider that a disappointment.
And then
check back with me in like February.
You have to remember that they lost their first like 27 overtime games
yeah.
to start the year as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that was awful.
So that was a 50-50 proposition as well. I'm going to buy
you
as
can't
well.
Control with the ball.
It's tough. Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
It's really tough, Josh. I'm sorry. I'm going to buy as well because, like you said, they're in it until the bitter end. But they had so many things go against them over the course of the year. They're going to have some tough competition in the bottom half of the 7th, 8th, and 9th spot. You're going to see teams like Portland kind of rise up a little bit more this year. You've got Minnesota. If they can stay healthy, they could be a team that can be one to watch.
Yeah, next episode we should do a little, because we'll be closer to the beginning of the season, we should do a little sort of overview of like who's going to be like 6 through 10 in the West, because there's been some people move around. There's been some changing of the guard in the last little while. And to be perfectly honest, we were so preoccupied with being crappy last year. I think that, you know, a lot of people, myself included, kind of lost sight of where everybody else's head's at because you're so worried about, God, are we just going to not suck tonight and go into the arena? How's it going to be?
I'm making a mental note of that right now as you get ready. I'm writing it down right now to project or analyze spots. I spelt that terribly. Spots 6 through 10 in the West. So that's a little teaser for episode 78 of More. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about how the culture is shifting a little bit in terms of media.
Media.
For me.
Media.
For me.
For Brian.
For my media.
But first, a break and the dulcet tones of Joe Walsh, An American Treasure. That was a quick break, but we want to make sure we stay on the clock. We're trying to get better at this thing. This thing.
3 years in, we're working with a clock.
Three years in, we're trying to improve.
Trying to be professional.
How about it? Mavericks Outsider Report, episode 77.
Speaking of professional.
Closing in on the end of the first hour, eating some Hershey's chocolate, which is always a good choice. So, Brian, you said there are some changes in the landscape.
Sorry. Yeah. And I have chocolate in my mouth.
You will go to every end in the world to avoid talking about yourself.
I hate it.
That's your game. I respect it.
I hate it.
Because some people talk about themselves too much. I like a happy medium, but I respect it. So for you to bring this up means it's got to be some good info.
Even if, before I get in on this, the book that I wrote, it wasn't even going to be talking about me at all.
Until other people
forced me to say,
right,
dude, this book isn't going to be as good unless you write about you.
That was a cool angle. For those of you that don't know, Brian wrote a book about his journey with the Mavs through their championship run, because in between crinkling paper in front of the mic, he went from a guy who would make you say, why does he have a credential, to actually more or less working for the Mavs as a beat writer. And it was all kind of very Forrest Gumpish, the way it all just kind of fell. You just kind of fell into it, you know?
I just kept running.
Yeah, he just kept running.
I love my Jedi.
And so it was a cool period of time, because, you know, the Mavs were doing what they were doing, and you were doing this, and we were talking about it every week, and so it warranted the attention. It was a good idea to parallel your story in there, and it's not like you overloaded us with your side of it.
I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, so there's that.
So as a preface for that, I found out, I guess it was a week and a half ago, through Rob Mahoney, who we've had on the show before, good friend, that what I was writing one on was the two-man game for ESPN True Hoop Network.
Yeah, and this actually started as a site that Rob started, and True Hoop picked it up.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he just was knocking it out of the park of what he was doing.
Definitely. Great writer.
And before I got into writing, he was one of the people that I loved to read, because his stance on everything was unique and awesome.
So now that you write, you don't read anymore.
I don't read. I can't read anymore. I just can't read.
Forgot how.
I don't know how to. I'm looking at squiggles on my screen right now instead of reading. But anyways, the True Hoop Network picked up the two-man game, and then they went with 30-team approach, basically, of affiliates for these teams.
Blog network, basically.
Yeah, basically. And then I found out about a week and a half ago through Rob that the network is basically disbanding, because they don't like that 30-team approach anymore. It doesn't really cut their turkey.
They want to
focus more on
broadcast as opposed to narrowcast,
yes,
basically.
Basically. So they're cutting the beef or cutting the fat, and not due to what was going on in the site. The two-man game was a casualty. So, I am going to take the writers that wanted to come along that were on the two-man game, and we're going to make our own site. And this is something that I've been talking with Ryland about. I've been talking with a bunch of different people about, and I didn't figure it, but other people suggested that we synergize, which is a big word on this show, synergize the podcast with the website. So the Mavericks Outsider Report website will be up.
Isn't that the guy that either does or did a Mavericks blog?
Yeah, maybe. Not necessarily in that instance.
There is a guy named Brian Gutierrez, but it's got to be a different guy.
That's my favorite one.
That's a good one.
You can throw that in any situation.
It works anytime.
So synergistic synergies will take place.
Yes.
And this is cool, because when we first started this, and you were, you know, one rung underneath Royce Fisher, you decided.
I was like three rungs below him.
You were at the IRS.com. We said, let's do a podcast. Let's call it. Your idea was actually to call it the Outsider Report, because it's a play on a kind of a generic name.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of us are branding guys and can come up with a real name.
Right.
Because we just don't carry that skill. But it ended
you
up,
just wear cool shirts all the
I
time.
I just wear cool shirts with Mr. Miyagi on them. So it stuck. And now it's kind of back again, because you're going to be kind of in the lead of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's cool, because you can be fully independent at this point. You've established your credibility and your audience, and so now you can go and take your editorial angle however you want to take it, and pretty much just do whatever you feel like you should be doing at a given time with writing. So I think that's a cool development personally.
We're doing our second album, basically, and it's going to be experimental, and it's going to be fun. We're going to go to Europe and just like walk around with a backpack.
We're going to hire a electronica producer.
Yeah. We're going to do that. What is it? EMD or EPD? I don't know. I'm not hip with music right now.
What is that? Yeah, EDM?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's
gonna
that's not my thing.
It's going to be sick, bro.
I like beats, but I don't like I don't like beats that are so just I need a little organic.
It's constant beats.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to be going on, and more of that as well.
So in summary, you're launching a website. You're going to write there. You're bringing other people that are going to write there as well.
So the people that like the two-man game, they will like this site
as well. They will like this site.
We're not going to break what was broken over there. Or that wasn't broken. I don't know. I'm thinking
That's genius, too. You're not going to break what was broken.
Yeah.
We'll continue to post links
that's
to this
smart.
Podcast.
I like that. I'm writing that down.
We're not going to break what was broken over there. You continue to link to this podcast, and then you know whatever other content comes from it. I think that's
there's going to be a lot of fun stuff that we do.
Watch this space.
What's going on?
What's next?
You just went on a tangent. I didn't know. I was thinking about my.
It's
been a long time since we've done this, and I'm hoping that this works out as well as we did. There it is.
The party's across the street featuring the greatest band in the world, Morse Data Tom.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't,
damn it.
It wasn't ready.
Shit. Okay. Hey.
It's been a while.
Re-rack.
Yo! The party's across the street featuring the greatest band in the world, Morse Data Tom.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while.
That is music to my ears. It is music, so there you go. Yeah, NBA Nuggets. NBA Nuggets. It's when we like to take a look around what's making news in the NBA that doesn't have to do with the Mavs, but we look at it through our Mav-colored glasses, Brian.
We do.
And it's one of my favorite things to do because it's kind of grab-assy, and, you know, I like, as I've said earlier in this show, I like to do grab-assy stuff. So I'm having to kind of manually manage this a little bit because I didn't charge my iPad for like 2 weeks.
First world problems.
I'm that guy. I know that's those of you here listening, you're thinking, oh, my wife does that. Oh, my girlfriend does that. Oh, damn it. I did it. So, yeah. First nugget.
First nugget. I think you labeled this Shaquamento. Was it Shaquamento?
Shaquamento.
So apparently, Jason Kidd started off the offseason with his crazy news of that he's going to be a head coach.
That is crazy.
And now we've come full circle of sorts where Shaquille O'Neal is saying that he's going to be a minority owner. And of all teams, he's going to be a minority owner of the Sacramento Kings.
This is weird. Why? They're in all this flux. You know, they don't know if they're going to be there.
A couple weeks ago, they were like, we might go to Seattle.
They were the Seattle Supersonic Redux, or they're going to be the Las Vegas Ramblers or something. Hell, I don't know. So, yeah, it is weird to me, but it's news. It's worth talking about. Anything Shaq does is just a bit, because Shaq is a bit.
You know what I just thought?
I like Shaq.
I like Shaq, too. But does this – I actually just thought about this. Does this mean his time on Inside the NBA is done?
No.
It doesn't have to be done?
Why would it have to be done?
Because he's kind of a – I mean,
Magic Johnson's been a minority owner in the Lakers for
ever,
and he just sits up there when he's on there.
ESPN.
Roots for the Lakers. And for a while, he was on TNT earlier, you know, 7-8 years ago.
He wasn't very good on TNT.
Shaq's not very good on TNT either, though.
Magic's not very good on ESPN.
No, Magic's not very good on any outlet while we're being critics of people that do things we can't do. He's not good. Shaq has the ability to be good.
He does.
Man, I've been getting toe cramps lately. You know, like your arch cramps.
What a weird turn that went.
Anyway.
Shaq probably had toe cramps in his career.
As big as his feet are. So, you know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Shaq is a smart guy. He's funny.
Funny.
He's got his own little Shaq way about him. But if he just doesn't give a damn, he just doesn't give a damn. And that's kind of, I feel like he's just kind of phoning it in a little bit. Still making me chuckle every now and then.
His Shaq and a fool on Inside the NBA is hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like he has his spots, but he doesn't have it in him to go full effort. And if he did, it'd be great.
Well, he didn't go full effort in his career either.
No, he didn't. If he did, he would have been
a beast.
Wilt Chamberlain. Next nugget. Why is this not?
Another apparatus. Let's see if this works. That's better.
Yeah.
That's more clean.
We're a little out of practice.
Yeah, no, we're getting in. It's our training camp right now.
It's training camp, boys.
It's beef. We're talking about beef with KD and Wade or Flash or 3 or Wow or whatever.
Two games against Roast Beef Tech and whatever.
That too. Whatever Dwayne Wade's calling himself now.
Wow.
Wow.
I hate that guy.
I don't even remember what
three.
That was called.
No, he's calling himself 3.
I remember that. He's like, it was after they won the championship.
Just call me 3 call because me I three. I got LeBron got me 2 and Bennett Salvatore got me 1.
Yeah. So this beef came along.
Put that guy on a plane with the St. Louis Cardinals and running into a mountain.
Wow.
That's my judgment on that. Hashtag gavel.
So the beef started where SI.com, where Rob Mahoney is now.
Yes.
They did their top 100 of 2014, players that are expected to do well for 2014. And they felt that Dwayne Wade was still a top 10 player. I do not think so.
That's like a movie. Like, is there a movie star? Is that like people still picking up Adam Sandler and David Spade for like a just kind of like a white boy comedy? I mean, I would probably like it because I grew up on that. But you know what I mean? Like they
so
still.
Did, so did
like
you see Grown Ups?
No. That kind of is what came to mind. Like it's like they still think this guy's bankable. Like time passes, bro.
Right.
Father Time, bro.
It does.
So there.
I would not consider him a top 10 player.
So him and Durant are beefing about this somehow?
A little bit. It started out with saying that Kevin Durant, who's obviously got a little bit of a horse in the fight where he was a former teammate of his, saying James Harden, and they're still tight. They're still friends. He said that James Harden should have been a top 10 player. And then he was asked who needs to go out, and he said Dwayne Wade.
Clearly.
So then Dwayne Wade went to Instagram, of all places, and took a picture of him writing down the date and saying, Kevin Durant said, James Harden should replace me in the top 10. Note to self, make him respect your place in history, ... again.
Place in history?
Shortly after that.
This guy is such a megalomaniac. Like, he is so, that's the thing.
And his manpreys.
He thinks he's so much more significant. I'm not saying he was not a great player in his peak and not still a good player. I'm not saying that at all. But the problem with him has always been that he has overestimated his own significance.
This is true.
And as a Mavs fan, I have obviously a strong opinion.
You have
about
a very strong opinion about that. So Wade went to Instagram. Oh, Durant.
I'm going to take my problems to Instagram.
Durant retorted on Twitter by saying, "Show me, don't tweet me." Which is kind of funny, but a lot of people want.
So sorry to interrupt.
Some people were wondering if this was kind of fabricated beef, because if you don't remember, last year there was that Gatorade commercial between Wade and Durant.
I don't know, man. If it is, then I hate both of them. And I like Durant. I don't have anything wrong with Durant, but surely not, dude.
That's digging deep.
The only way I can describe that is offensive to 10 to 12% of the population, so I'm not going to say it.
I don't think it's fabricated beef.
But it's bull. No way, dude. That would be stupid.
So would you say James Harden is a top 10 player then? That's the next question.
Because we
can kind of segue these all together, because if you want to look at the top 10, it was LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, Tony Parker, Russell Westbrook, Tim Duncan, Dwight Howard, Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, and Carmelo Anthony. So does James Harden fit in that top 10 in place of Dwayne Wade?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there might be another guy there you could make an argument for.
Would you put Derrick Rose in there?
If he's healthy, but man, come on. He hadn't played a game in like 2 years.
But he played this
he
weekend.
Did. Yeah,
he
no,
did.
Saw that.
That blew Twitter
that's
up.
That's another nugget right there. Yeah. Derrick Rose played.
Next nugget.
Derrick Rose played. Next nugget.
Kind of keeping it along with James Harden in Houston, apparently it was a massive deal that this new locker room the Rockets made featured all kinds of super upgrades.
I saw that. They all
$7 million worth of upgrades for a locker room.
Screens above their lockers with like their baseball card on it and shit like that. I don't know, man. Like, I know you want it. To me, the most important thing is you want it to be nice. And beyond that, the bells and whistles, do they really matter? I don't think they do. I think they matter more to fans and sponsors and people who come in and think it's cool and get a tour of the locker room and during their sweet sales pitch or something.
So you don't think this
I think it's a marketing thing.
So do you buy that, like, Daryl Morey and all of them are trying to use this as the next step or next platform to kind of woo free agents for the future? Hey, look at this amazing locker room we've got. We can protect you and let you have fun here.
No, I don't think so, just because, again, I don't think it's that big of a deal. You're getting, you know, it's your office in a way, and yeah, I just don't see it. I know the Mavs have, like, that common area over there kind of off of their weight room.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, seems more like what you would be, if you thought that was important, what you would have as opposed to your locker, because your locker, by nature, has to be a certain fixed width. You got to have room in there to put your clothes and all your stuff and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I don't see, and this goes back to the Mavs in 2001 or 2 or whatever, and, oh, we got a PlayStation in here. I don't see a guy just sitting there, maybe a little bit here and there, but I don't see that being like a big thing. I see
not a major selling point.
I see all the other things that are around it, like the facilities as a whole, and it plays a part in that perception of the facilities. But I don't see that attracting a free agent. I see it more as a marketing for potential customers and fans.
Do you think Cuban gets a little ruffled when he hears something about this?
Yeah, because he started it,
right?
So he's going to one up it, and that's fine because that's marketing.
Yeah,
that's why he's going to do it, and it is making the player more comfortable. But it's a part of a bigger equation about making the player comfortable.
Right.
So while it's there, it's like, that's not the only thing. Don't oversell it, I guess, is my thing.
I think Houston clearly oversold this one.
They did, yeah. But they're Houston.
You got to.
Next nugget.
Tristan Thompson's free throws. This is what you brought this up. This is a good one because I forgot it.
I don't have a story to reference, and I don't even know who the hell he plays for.
He plays for Cleveland.
But he was...
Former University of Texas Longhorn.
He's a lefty, like me.
You respect him.
Probably pretty cool. But apparently he is so terrible shooting free throws that it was suggested to him over the summer that he try shooting them right-handed. I don't recall ever hearing this. Ever having been brought up for anybody in the past. Do you?
I think it has, but I'm not sure who it was exactly.
And it's interesting.
It's old school, though, that whoever did it.
Well, it is, but it's not, because there reaches a point when a guy is that bad at free throws that it's all in your mind. And if you're doing it with a hand you don't normally shoot with, you're reestablishing everything. You're reestablishing all your muscle memory, everything from the ground up. So it's kind of a new age approach, too, in a way, because it's really taking a mental aspect of the game into it. But the main reason I want to bring this up is because I want to bring this up that this shows that this once again proves that left-handed people are superior. If a right-handed guy couldn't shoot free throws worth a damn, Bo Outlaw, nobody ever went to Bo Outlaw when he was shooting, or who's the son of a gun? There's another guy. Anyway, I don't know. A more recent dude. Might even be Travis Outlaw, actually. Isn't he pretty terrible?
Yeah.
They're all named.
The Outlaws
are bad. Name is Outlaw.
Bo,
Travis.
Yeah.
Desperado.
I was trying to think of one of them.
But anyway, if one of those, nobody ever went to one of them and said, why don't you try with your left hand? Because the reaction would have been, well, left hand? I can't even pick up a spoon with my left hand. Because right-handed people are coddled. The world is made for right-handed people, and they're all just walking, for the most part, walking around the world with just a dead arm on their left side, just hanging limp, like it doesn't even move. Left-handed people from birth have to learn how to adapt. They have to learn how to use things made for right-handed
scissors.
People. Scissors. You name it. I can do a lot of things with both hands. And so this just proves my point that right-handed people are coddled, left-handed people are not, and the next outlaw that can't shoot free throws, they should propose to him that he try left-handed.
Muggsy Outlaw.
It's the same concept.
Muggsy Outlaw. I pulled up an article. Tristan Thompson shot 60.8% from the free throw line last season, and he did it with the Canadian national team this summer, the Switch, and through 37 free throws, he shot 78%.
Okay, there you go.
So that's a pretty substantial change.
Yeah, I think that, because you get so hung up mentally, it's like Charles Barkley's golf swing.
God, that hitch was terrible.
Yeah, he's got a hitch in his delivery somewhere, and so that's what that is. Next nugget.
That's something to watch. Next nugget, where is it? Paul George got paid.
And
DeMarcus Cousins. So, again, the Mavs got kind of punched in the nuts when they were thinking about DeMarcus Cousins.
What else is new?
Do you like both of those deals? Basically, max deals for both of them.
Everybody likes the Paul George deal. I think that's a no-brainer. The DeMarcus deal, You know, the coaching shorts opinion, and I'm going to establish what that means later in the show.
Because I don't know what that means.
I've just made it up in the last few weeks, and I think it's genius, kind of like Dollar Menu. But anyway, the coaching shorts opinion on DeMarcus Cousins obviously would be that you don't want to risk that on him. But it speaks to the reality of pro sports, Brian. And that is, if you're a franchise that's in the place Sacramento is in, or any team that's kind of struggling or trying to get over the hump, which Sacramento's
they've got a lot of humps to get over.
They're not even near the hump.
Yeah.
But if you are trying to get over the hump and you have a player, you can't teach that kind of talent. You don't teach that size. You don't teach that footwork. You don't teach that. You can try, but if he comes out there like that ready-made, you have to roll the dice. And people like that, guys like that in pro sports, they get paid. It just sucks in basketball because they're always guaranteed. You know, you can't hedge your bets. The market doesn't do you any favors in basketball like it does in football or like it can do in baseball. Or I don't even know. Do hockey players get paid? Like,
yeah, they get paid.
I don't even know. But
they have weird deals where they get paid like 15-year contracts.
That's the rule. That's how things work in basketball. The CBA is a certain way. The market's a certain way. So you knew he was going to get paid. So I like it because of that. Because I'm not going to sit here and pretend like there's some alternate reality in which players like DeMarcus Cousins don't get paid. Because they do.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And I don't have a problem with Paul George getting paid because he's the next step. He's the next guy that's
for sure.
He's ready to climb.
And he has two first names.
That's always. What's his middle name though? That's the question.
Ringo.
Yeah. Next nugget. Greg Popovich.
Greg Popovich.
Slama Mevadovic.
And Aaron Brockovich.
He still has some heartburn over Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Oh, I thought he had heartburn over Game 6 of the 2011 World Series.
No.
I was going to be like, me too, bro. Like, we got more in common than I thought.
No, it was Game 6.
I still have nightmares.
Game 6 of the NBA Finals where they basically had the championship. They're putting up the yellow tape around the court.
They were.
And Ray Allen drills a three.
He did.
And that just set a course where Dwayne Wade feels even more entitled.
It did. And so, that's what disappoints me about it. As much as I have Schadenfreude for the Spurs, the fact that it entitled Dwayne Wade to act more like a prick really hurts my soul.
It does.
And the Spurs had already won umpteen titles. What was one more?
Right.
It almost would have been like, you would have almost at that point really would have to shake Tim Duncan's hand for that one. He's like, bro, you're old. You hit the Duncan wall, which didn't really exist, but it got blown up into something. He hit the Duncan wall and still won a ring.
Right.
Good for him. So
Manu lost all of his hair.
So you have a quote from Pop?
He said, 3 months later, he said, I think about Game 6 every day, without exception. I think about it every play or every day. I can see LeBron's first shot and then the rebound and then the second. It makes me as sad as you can possibly be.
Ugh. I understand.
You can relate to this.
I can relate because of the Mavs. I can relate. Really, really because of the Rangers. Because the Mavs had it, not in the bag, but the Mavs had it in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
The Rangers came closer than any team in the history of organized sports.
It's hard to get that close.
Yeah, and not win it.
The Spurs were pretty damn close.
Like, if you look at one of those win probability graphs, it's like 99.99 for like four innings. And then it's just, I'm going to go puke in this next break. So I feel for you, Pop. I really do. I'm sorry, bro.
But I think he'll be okay.
He will.
Let's do some rapid-fire nuggets real quick. Rapid-fire.
Okay.
Because I found some more.
All right, pal.
Today's the 20-year anniversary of Michael Jordan retiring the first time.
That was a tough day, dude. I was disappointed.
That was sad.
I was in the eighth grade, so when you're that age, you know, you're really invested in that stuff.
You had posters on the wall. Or
Oh, I had the biggest Jordan wall. I had the, what's that clear sticky stuff you put on? You can put on, like, magazine or newspaper clippings. I had that full of Jordan pictures.
Right.
Every Jordan picture I could grab. Because the generic newspaper, would when they ran an NBA story in the sports page, 40, 50% of the time it was a picture of Jordan.
Right.
So I'd take it out and put it in, you know, a little, you know, whatever, 8x10, 5x7, 4x6. I had like three or four big posters and the wall was covered. It was pretty badass. And then when I went to college, my mom made me take it down.
Oh, that's sad.
She's all like, I'm going to make this room cute.
What did it end up being?
Cute.
Oh, okay.
Like up until about a year ago, the bed in there was so cute you couldn't freaking sleep in it. And finally I told her, if you ever want to see your baby or your grandbaby,
or your baby.
I'm her only kid. That makes no sense. If you ever want to see your grandkid, you're going to need to give us a damn bed we can sleep in.
Right.
I mean, the dog didn't even have room to sleep in there, but ooh, it was an antique. Whatever.
Next nugget. Michael Jordan says in his prime he could beat LeBron James, but he couldn't beat Kobe because Kobe stole all of his moves.
That has to be a joke. He knows he can beat Kobe.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan can beat everybody. Michael Jordan can beat Yoda at lightsaber.
How much would you pay if they had the technology to watch MJ in his prime versus LeBron in his prime?
How close am I sitting?
Midway through the lower bowl.
What's the venue?
Wherever, it doesn't matter.
AAC or whatever, typical basketball arena.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd pay $1,500 a seat.
Wow.
Yeah, I would.
Once in a lifetime thing, though.
It's like this, like, Terminator kind of thing, mm-hmm. where they've, like, regenerated their bodies and they're both 27 or 24 or whatever. Yeah.
What if it was pay-per-view?
Man.
How high would you go? $500 pay-per-view for a game to 21.
I'd do that because you could probably find somebody to go in with you.
Yeah. Next quick nugget.
Clink.
Russell Westbrook out the first 4 to 6 weeks after a second knee surgery.
That is tough, dude.
How scared are you in Oklahoma City right now? Are you concerned that his athleticism is going to go away?
You had a choice, and that's who you hitched your wagon to. I'm not saying that it was a bad choice. I probably would have made the same. But damn, dude.
That's scary. That's a little bit scary.
He had a knee surgery followed by immediately a knee surgery.
It's scary.
And I saw a number, and maybe you saw this, and I apologize for not knowing exactly what it was, but I saw a number the other day that showed that in his last X number of games, Kevin Durant had only played like 12 games without either Westbrook or James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's like, nut cutting time for Durant. I mean, he'll be fine. I mean, he's Kevin Durant. But it is interesting. It is kind of a little sidebar to watch, I think.
Yeah. Last nugget. Drake is a special consultant or ambassador of the Toronto Raptors. So pop culture.
That's terrible.
And music. The Raptors are buying in because, again, you're one of these teams that needs to get over a hump. And Drake's your most famous Canadian.
Just put Pitbull on the bench as like the assistant coach.
He'd have a real good time.
He would, man. He would turn it up. He would turn this party up to 120% or whatever that was.
They're changing everything except for the name. They're willing to look at everything, but they're still going to be the Toronto Raptors.
That's sad because the name is one of the worst things about them.
That kind of is. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So Drake, big part of the NBA now.
Oh, God.
That's it for Nuggets.
That is it for Nuggets. Talk for a minute.
What are we going to? Oh, let me. We talked about this before the show. Do you have that setup still of our favorite Mav that's no longer Mav? This isn't on the sheet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So we had a discussion before the show in our what I would call pre-production meeting.
Yeah, which is always outstanding.
I asked Rylan, are you sad about a certain Mav no longer being a Mav, or are we going to have to talk about Roddy B anymore? And this was the answer.
No.
One more time?
Hey, Roddy, you going to be playing in the NBA this year?
Oh, no.
What a failed bit. What a failed bit that was.
It is rough. He's still jobless.
Of course he is, because he sucks, man.
Jobless.
Terrible. And he was untouchable. When we did our first podcast, we talked about how the coaching staff was saying we need him to be our second best player.
Right.
Welp. How'd that work out
that
for you,
that did not work
boys?
Out. And they won a ring, and he barely did a thing that year.
Right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to do about 35 to 40 minutes of
random.
Straight grab ass.
It's a stew.
To take us out, Sacramento Zone. You know, dude, the Keith Smart, Keith Sweat.
That was great.
We'll never get old.
No.
I'm gonna use that. I'm going to be using that 20 years from now. Nobody's even going to remember who Keith Smart is. Damn sure won't even probably remember who Keith Sweat is.
No.
And I am. I'm going to be all like, Keith Smart, Keith Sweat. Ha, 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 ha.
You're owning that.
Nobody's going to get it but me. Yeah, we took a quick break because it's time to just get down and talk about some crazy stuff because it's been a long time. The thing is, you know, when we go a little while between episodes, which happens a lot during this time of year, you pile up all these little things. And mm-hmm. so then you want to get them all out. And we had some other things we had to skip over last time and whatever. So we decided since we have been doing shows pretty scarcely, we were going to do a quick segment here that's basically, you know, tell me about your summer vacation. What did you do this summer? And I'm going to let you go first, Brian.
Oh, you're going to let me go first?
Yeah, sure.
I randomly forgot that we were going to talk about this, but it was that I randomly played – well, it wasn't randomly. I played basketball with the former Cowboy and a current Cowboy. Probably a Cowboy that
dunked
everyone
dunked on him.
No, not so much.
Dunked on him like 10 times.
I got to play basketball with Jesse Holly and Tony Romo, with the help of Ben Rogers at undisclosed location where Basketball Hoop Club exists. And this was like 3 months ago, and it was funny because Tony Romo was like, "Dude, 3 months from now, I'm gonna have a game where I throw 500 yards." And then people are going to be still
and
be pissed at
and
me.
And I'm going to throw a pick with 2 minutes left.
So, yeah.
Terrible. Terrible game. Sorry, sports.
And you've heard about Romo being kind of a super athlete who can play in different sports. We've heard about golf a lot. Probably a sick.
You've seen the high school basketball picture of him and Caron Butler.
Yeah.
From that area of Wisconsin.
He's
they're the same age.
He's sick at Jenga and Yahtzee. It's just
Yahtzee.
Ridiculous. So
shout out to everybody who's played Yahtzee in the last 7 years.
Holler. So then I found out about this, and I sent Rylan a text, and I was like, going to be playing with Romo tonight.
Like, how do I defend
Romo? How do we do this? Because there's got to be some etiquette involved.
You know, I was thinking about this, and we talked about it at the time, but I was thinking about it today when I saw that I looked at our notes and realized we were going to talk about it. It's not just Romo. There is, when it's grown-ass man pickup, there's kind of an unwritten etiquette because mm-hmm. you don't want anybody getting hurt. There's
right.
certain things you don't do. You know, you don't get underneath a guy. You don't necessarily maybe be as aggressive as you would be clearing out space for yourself, things like that. I mean, some guys do. You get those guys that, mm-hmm. you know, in there, you know, that maybe they wear some coaching shorts every once in a while.
Still don't know what that means.
We'll get there. But
and that's what Ben does before we play. He says, guys, we're just doing this for fun.
Leave your coaching shorts.
I don't know what that means.
Leave your coaching shorts out the door.
That's
so he actually holds court and says, okay, everybody?
Yeah, he does.
Why does that not surprise me?
That's such
me?
A Ben Rogers thing.
Why does
thing?
That not surprise me at all?
Another good example of how you kind of keep it in gear is, hey, let's say there's a fast break and you're the guy trying to catch up to the guy that's got a layup. Just let him go.
Let him go, or
we're not trying to make SportsCenter's top 10.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the end of the game and it's a winning basket or something, and you're close, you know, go up there, but and let contact from the elbow
right.
up. Don't you know? We don't need any of this BS.
Right.
We had some. Have I ever told the rec league fight
no.
story?
No.
I really should save it for when some of the people that were there actually seeing it, because it happened during game one of the 2006 finals. So I wasn't at our rec league game, because I was at the game at American Airlines Center.
Right.
And it was towards the end of a rec league season, and these guys were being really really overly aggressive, and it kind of ended in a little bit of a scrum. It was actually a hilarious story, but that's the whole point, is it started because one guy thought another guy had too much contact on a fast break.
Yeah.
And look, we're grown ups, you know. We're 33 and 30.
Going to be 31. Yes, I'm going to be 31.
You got to be 31 soon, I was about to say.
Next month.
Yeah. We can't handle some of the things we used to handle. Like,
right.
I had the privilege of going down to the ballpark in Arlington a few weeks ago, probably about three and a half weeks ago, for the little thing that Bad Radio does, the charity thing they do with the Tom Grieve Hitting Challenge, where they get people to auction off like batting practice or whatever, and they do a little home run derby for charity. Well, I knew one of the guys that bid on one of the slots, and so they needed people to come shag balls, and he was like, hey, you want to shag balls? So I did, and I threw like four baseballs from the – because most of it's real just whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I threw four or maybe five baseballs from about the warning track or even a little bit in to the little area in very shallow just behind second base where they collect all the balls.
Right.
My shoulder is still sore.
Done.
From those like four throws.
Four.
I mean, and I'm not throwing them. I mean, they're like rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
33, man. Can't do it like I used to. So I get that. Unwritten code.
Get that icy hot.
That's a cool story, though.
Yeah. Jesse Holly is a guy that likes to get to the rim. So you not a strong shooter, but he can shoot. And then Tony Romo, he's got a nice pull-up J. And then any time that you got his team got a rebound, they'd feed it to him, and he would loft a pass cross court.
And he throws a great pass, and you're like, wow, great pass. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's a quarterback.
No wonder.
He's a quarterback. And then, yeah, he's a cool guy.
It's kind of like if you're, like, writing something down for the game, like, say you're writing down, filling out the lineup card for the rec league, and everybody's like, man, Brian did an awesome job. Oh, he's a writer.
He's a writer.
Yeah. Happens to all of us, man.
He misspelled everything, though. So that's what – and I actually turned the hell out of my ankle last week because I tried to dribble a basketball, which is not in my repertoire.
No, man, you need to just kind of
– just shoot.
Stick and move.
I'm a Jose Calderon, just spot-up shooter.
So that's all you did this summer?
Yeah, I played a lot of basketball.
Played a lot of basketball?
Have you played basketball since we had that little discussion at the old TJBC?
About that I needed to go play?
You need to go play basketball?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, dude. That's a whole nother topic.
I got in a good stretch during the summer where I played at least three times a week.
I'm gonna pick that up for later because you and Courtney both
were hammering you to play basketball.
Will tell me that I need to go play, and I'm like, I do, but I have to like start slow because I'm way out of practice. Like it'll be terrible. Like I'm just playing defense for the first like 2 weeks. So my summer, I have three fun things to mention.
I had zero fun things.
They're not fun.
They're probably more interesting than mine.
One is that poison oak is not something you want to tangle with.
I've never tangled with it. Do not tangle
with poison oak. This is my PSA. I had poison oak infestation in my backyard, and I sprayed it like 8 times with that special, not even regular Roundup, but the super nuclear Syrian Roundup that is in an orange thing. I sprayed it like 4 or 5 times. It's specifically poison ivy, poison oak, woody things of wood. And it looked dead as anything could be. And one day I was out there knocking everything out. And so I'm just pulling it out because it's dead. Well, yeah, it was not dead in the roots. And 4 days later, I began to itch on my legs and my arms like I've never experienced in my life. Like it was so bad. Like, dude, since I was like 10 years old, I've only been to the doctor for two respiratory infections when I was 14 and 15 where I was just coughing like crazy, coughing up a lung. And this, poison oak, it was so bad I had to get a prescription for steroids.
Screams.
Which the steroid makes you hungry. And dude was like, steroid, this will make you hungry. And I'm like, ah, dude, I eat like, it won't even register. It registered. I was crushing water. Really? I was crushing honey butter chicken biscuits. Like you would every morning I'd wake up and I'd be, normally I don't eat a lot of breakfast. I would be so hungry. I was crushing fast food breakfast.
Was this, so did you, y'all had Layla yet?
This was just this past summer, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she's 14 months old. Okay. So she just, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I was thinking if she was still pregnant, both of y'all just churning out food all the time.
That would have been outstanding.
Yeah.
No, so that was terrible. Don't do it. Here's the thing.
Never had it.
It looks dead. You think you're good. The stems, I don't know what you do to make them die. If that doesn't make them die, nothing will. So wear a hazmat suit. The stems, as it turns out, are between 10 and 100 times more potent.
Well, that's where it starts.
According to Google. So poison oak, stay away. My other thing is I went to visit over Labor Day. I grew up in Hamilton, which is a small town, 2A school, 3 stoplights, 1 blinking light, no economy, no nothing. It sucks. I would never live there again. God bless my mom and dad for living there. I don't know how they do it, and they claim that they like it, but I could never live there again. But we go to visit a couple times a year, and they have their like county festival. On Labor Day, they call it the Dove Festival because it's the opening of dove season, and there used to be lots of dove hunting down there. It's less now. But anyway, Dove Festival, just a small-town redneck, you know, parade and booths and, you know, that kind of thing.
Do they release the doves?
There's no doves. Oh. No offerings of peace because everybody's trying to kill the doves.
That's unfortunate. Because that's a good way to trick them.
You don't want Dick Cheney raising his gun in front of everybody because apparently he's got a problem with that. But anyway, we went there. We hadn't been in about 4 years, and the thing of it is, man, you go there, everybody knows you. And
hey!
It's never been a problem for me. I'm not a real, like, introverted person. I'm kind of in the middle, but I don't mind small talk, shaking hand, hey, how you doing, whatever. Not a big deal, and you know it kind of comes with the territory. But this year, I realized I'm 33 years old. I haven't lived there in 15 years full time. I can't go there anymore and do anything without an escort because there's people coming up to me. and I don't know who the hell they are anymore. I used to be so good. I mean, I'm good with names. I like to feel like I'm good with names. You know, sometimes I'll rattle off funky names of NBA players that played or whatever. I'm really good with names, and there's people coming up to me. I don't have any clue who. I'm like, who the hell are you?
Everyone just needs to wear a name tag.
And this one dude came up, and he has daughters that are my age, and he is actually like my mom's distant cousin, but everybody's distant cousins there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, how are y'all? And of course, we had Layla with us, so everybody's really out of the woodwork. Right. They want to see your baby, whatever.
Show off your baby. Yeah, show off the baby.
Show off my baby. So
she got a pretty baby.
They he was talking, and Courtney is giving me this look like, why aren't you introducing me? And she got all mad. And when the guy left, not all mad, but you could tell she was pissed. And then when the guy left, I said, Courtney, I did not introduce you to him because I could not remember what the hell his name was. Like, I knew who he was, mm-hmm. but I couldn't remember his name. So I need an escort now to visit my own hometown. Can't go anywhere alone.
Just need to wear the name
tags.
Like,
I go to, can't even go to the grocery store.
Give him lanyards. Give him credentials.
We need that. Last thing, I moved into TJBC version 2.0 back in May.
It's very nice.
So we've had a full summer living here, and I have learned something, having lived here now for, whatever, 4 or 5 months, is that I know how I'm going to die.
What's that?
I know how I'm going to die. Barring an unforeseen twist in the road, I'm going to live here a long-ass time, and I'm going to die right there on those stairs. I am going to die right there on those stairs. I come from humble beginnings, Brian. I've never had stairs.
Stairs.
Okay, maybe that sounds stupid, but I do. I come from humble beginnings. I just told a story about Hamilton. Mm-hmm. I've never had stairs, okay? And I'm a sure-footed person, but I have damn near bought it going down those stairs more times than I care to admit, and I'm 33. So it might be when I'm...
So you're living your childhood where you have stairs, where you just go.
It might be when I'm 53. It might be when I'm 73. Hopefully it's when I'm 93, but my last breath is coming on that staircase. I'm gonna be out. And then the funny thing was, is as I was joking with this, with whoever I was telling it to, within like a week of that, I saw a story on somewhere on the Google machine about how like stairs are like one of the leading causes of death in the home.
Well, your age group is like above 60.
Well, sure, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. Because everybody die, you know, you got to die when you're old, typically.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm going to die.
That's sad. You're making me laugh because I was thinking about this.
It is, but isn't it good to know how you're going to die?
Not really. I don't know.
I just don't want to do it when I'm like 84 and I'm coming down here and the Rangers are one strike away from finally winning that World Series and I'm so excited.
Heart attack.
And 50 years from now and I just roll down the stairs because I slipped and then I'm laying there taking my last breath and Scott Feldman's great-grandson finally gets strike three.
You're making me think about how you're excited about stairs, and it reminded me, I think it was back when I was in college, and I was going to Walmart, because that's what a lot of college kids do.
They do.
And we were it was late at night, which is, again, what a lot of college kids do. They go to Walmart late at night. And I remember walking...
We always bought our groceries really late at Walmart.
You just had to.
What's the deal?
I don't know. You're not studying.
Because you know why? You don't even start thinking about anything that has anything to do with the world outside of your bed until at least noon.
Yeah. But we were still in the front, and I randomly saw this lady walk in, and she was looking around, and then she sat down, she got on her knees, and kissed the floor. And I was like, she must be...
She must love Walmart.
She loves that Walmart.
Some people love Walmart.
Or that was that first time. She's always wanted to go to Walmart. You've always wanted stairs. She got to Walmart, and she's like,
She just got out of jail, and the first visit was Walmart.
Love you. So that was weird. So that sucks for you. Maybe you need to do something with the stairs then.
It is.
Reinforce them in a different way.
Dude, they got rails already.
I mean, do something.
The people that lived here that I bought this from were in their 80s, and they made it out okay. So maybe there's hope.
They were like, dude, we need to go to
one floor.
No more stairs for
you. They probably did, dude.
No more stairs for you, all Jebediah.
Right. Final segment for today. We're going to wrap up episode 77 of the Mavericks Outsider Report.
Did you get a bed?
Did I get a bed?
Did you get a bed for this?
Yeah, I got a bed for my music.
Oh, okay.
It. Nice. I needed something funky because this is about... I don't know what this is going to be called. It's not going to happen every show. It's probably going to happen like every third or fourth show.
Just do the mystery segment.
This is just the mystery segment of what's going on in my brain. And there's been things going on in my brain, and I wanted to share them with people. So that's what I'm going to do right now.
I'm looking at these, and I have no idea what pretty much all of them are.
Because I'm in the mood. I'm
I don't know what goes on in your brain.
I want to share with people. And so I'm here to share with people. The first thing, the quickest thing, you remember Anthony Weiner was in the news, right?
Yeah.
Anthony Weiner.
And his Weiner.
He was a congressman, I guess, in New York, and then he got in some trouble when he was a congressman for sending out.
Did he shut down the government?
Sending out Weiner pics.
Yeah.
And then that was before, so it's too bad he wasn't around to participate. Then he decided he was going to run for mayor of New York City based on name recognition, I guess.
Oh, I got to capitalize on this Weiner spot.
He got caught sending dong pics again, and his name is Weiner. So this was just, I mean, all the headlines and all the puns. But here's the deal. This made me think, and you hear all these other stories. I'm going to be straight up honest with everybody within the range of my voice right now, and that is I'm glad that I'm not a 17-year-old boy in this era right now, because Brian,
be tough.
I'm telling you unequivocally, without a doubt, 225%, no doubt in my mind at all, 100% lock. If a girl had asked me to text her a dong pic, I would have done it in 1.7 seconds.
Hold on a
I
second.
I would have done it. I wouldn't care.
That's
I would have
what
done it
reply.
Immediately. Immediately. There would have been no hesitation. She wants to see it. She's seeing it. If I'm that age, because I don't have the full. I mean,
but you know, if it's 17 now, they're probably doing it like at 12 or 13.
That's fine. Whatever age. Whatever age. I got asked.
You're going to have to keep Layla in here until she's like 27.
Dude, I don't know what the stipulations and ramifications
gonna
are going to be then.
You're going to be in trouble.
15 more years. But point is,
they're going to be hologram pictures.
There's no question. I would have done it, dude. You're that age. You're a guy, and a girl asks you. With the girl, it's different because, like,
what do you do, though, if a girl asks you?
You do it.
But are you a little weirded out because she's like,
no.
Okay.
You just do it. But, see, it's different for girls because every guy would want to see the girl naked. And
you don't
want to
see the girl's wiener,
it's just
though.
A question. Damn sure don't. If that's in
you
the cards.
You
want to
see my wiener? That's
I'm,
what you
I'm
get
out.
A text.
I'm out. Yeah, just sit there. But
the girl sends you.
But
you want to see my wiener?
But for a guy, I would imagine a lot of girls aren't going to ask you that question. This generation is way more permissive than mine was. We had, you remember, we had mom jeans and flannel shirts and shit. Yeah. You couldn't see anything. Now
good,
everybody's, if they dress like they did now, different story. But anyway, so they may be different now, but at least from in my day,
yeah,
there Cagney wouldn't have
and
been
Lacey.
Very many girls that would have been that forward. But if they were, you had Cagney and Lacey.
I was trying to think of stuff.
Yes, you did.
I was trying to think of what was going
dude,
on.
Dude, Google Tyne Daly of Cagney and Lacey. Google Billy Joel. Same person. Anyway, you do. I would totally have sent it. If I'm 16 and a girl 16 wants to see my stuff, I'm showing it.
I just can't imagine girls doing that, though.
No, but it, obviously it's something.
It happens.
It's initiate. Yeah. I mean, they're not asking directly, but they're kind of meandering through it.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
This is Anthony Consada.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I need to set this up to repeat. Oops. Sorry.
It's repeating the beginning.
Okay, well, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
I'll deal with it later. There's a way to make it just repeat all the time, but I can't figure out how to do that right now. Oh, whatever. Yeah, so that's Anthony Weiner.
Your daughter is in for a world of craziness.
Yeah, I have no idea how I'm going to handle that. No idea at all. Next topic is going to be what I called the joy of a dry fart.
What a segue.
And I want to preface this first by explaining to everyone that
your brain has a lot of randomness in it.
Yeah, this was the top four. There's more on the list. Save them for another day. I'm the person who takes great joy in farting in general. I think farting is glorious
in every
way.
I think most guys do, though.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good that we do. I believe we should have a free farting society where people can fart without fear of shame and retribution.
Even the president?
Because if the gas is in there, it needs to get out, and that's just all there is to it. I understand sometimes it's going to stink, and sometimes that can be very unpleasant. But if you're good at predicting when it can stink, excuse yourself. If you're not, I'm sorry. Sucks to be you. But I generally revel in the joy of a fart. Well, about, I guess it's been almost a month now. For the first time, I think, in my life, I got hit with food poisoning.
Sucks.
I'm talking.
Is it Whataburger?
No. It was actually some.
Courtney's
it was
cooking?
Actually some duck breast that I smoked.
Oh.
And I don't. And it was cooked legit. Everything was legit. I just think it was a, you know.
Bad duck.
Random, you know, shit happens kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and boy, did it happen. I destroyed. It was after the opening week Cowboys game. I mean, I destroyed the toilet so bad in every possible way. Like, I was throwing up and everything else. I had to execute the throw up and then terminate and spin and drop and let go, like, in a fraction of a second. It was very athletic. I was very proud of myself. I mean, it was bad, dude. It was bad. And I was ravaged for probably 12, 13 hours where I was just, everything was, had to get out of my body.
That's rough.
And I was, you know, and it was overnight, so I missed a lot of sleep, and so I was really tired, which made it worse. If it had been during the day, it would have been a little more tolerable.
I just don't do work for a day.
It just tires you out because you're in that mode, you know, and it just makes you so tired and beat down. So once it was all over, you realize the harbinger of success is a dry fart. The harbinger of success is a dry fart. And, man, you will, if you're ever in that situation, you will relish that dry fart like no dry fart you've ever relished in your life.
I can't say I've had food poisoning before.
Dude,
I don't.
I've only had that once, and, you know, I eat anything, anywhere, and it's bad. It was horrible. It was terrible. So,
I like your theory of a free society where everyone can fart.
FFS, man.
But everyone does it. I mean,
free farting society.
It happens in pickup games now where, like, man, someone dropped. We have to stop the game for, like, a minute.
To debate over who it was.
Someone caught it and, like, oh, okay.
You got to wave it out.
Time out, guys. Wave it out. It's like when they do it in the game where they get the towel and they rub that down. Everyone's like, get away from this area for about a minute.
That's how it is sharing an office with me in the morning before, like, 9:30. You can bring Mark over and ask him about that someday. So, yeah, just my point is if you find yourself in that compromised situation, just look forward to the dry fart. And, man, when you get that dry fart, you're home free. I want to give a quick update on the Twitter critic.
We need an update on this.
I don't, you know, last episode I announced that I was going to declare myself the Twitter critic. I feel like I...
That's your cue to know that you need to go back.
I feel like I have...
Or just do it after everyone.
I feel like I have a good position from which to criticize tweets. I think I'm pretty good at Twitter, and I think that I know a lot of people that are pretty good at Twitter. One thing I don't really do is I don't really follow the athlete. The athlete, as a segment of society, really is pretty shitty on Twitter.
How long did you follow Jared Cunningham on Twitter?
Never did.
You never did?
No,
you didn't get caught up on the Instagram?
In order for me to follow an athlete, I have to hear from somebody that I trust that they're a good follower. Like, if you told me, hey, man, you know, you should follow Ricky Lito, he's got something, I will. But I'm not going to do it on my own.
So what happened then with Dirk?
I follow Dirk because Dirk's fucking Dirk,
okay,
bro.
Okay, so you didn't need a recommendation?
Dirk's good at, no, because Dirk's Dirk. I was willing to give him a roll, recommendation.
What if he was a crappy follow? Would you be sad?
I mean, no, because that's the expectation. There's no shame in this. It doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you dumb.
But he was actually named a SI Top 100
tweeter. Yeah. He should be. Yeah. So that's a good thing. You know, some athletes are really good at it. And I just wanted to give some shine to a couple of athletes. It's been baseball season. One of which is Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher, former Texas Rangers pitcher, Brandon McCarthy. He is a great Twitter follow. For anybody who even follows baseball kind of tangentially to the rest of their life, follow Brandon McCarthy. He's good at what he does.
Was that the guy that was on Oakland and threw at A-Rod or did something with A-Rod?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
He's a guy that got hit in the head with a pitch last year with Oakland and was like had a concussion. It was pretty bad.
Something
like
with his
hospital.
Does he have a wife that's a little chatty?
He has a wife that's very chatty on Twitter, I think. But a lot of them have wives, so I don't know.
Okay.
The other one is baseball's hit king, Pete Rose. Pete Rose is a double achievement here.
He seems like a guy that wouldn't know how to use Twitter.
Exactly. Not only is he an athlete, he's an old guy. All the cards are stacked against him in being good at Twitter. The chances of him being good, Pete Rose, being good at Twitter are so low based on purely demographic analysis. And this guy is outstanding. He, you know, he played the bulk of his career with the Reds, and so he'll come up with these great Reds stats, which I'm not a Reds fan, but I appreciate that he comes up with it. He'll come up with random baseball stats, and then he'll come up and say, on this day in 1978, I faced so-and-so and, you know, got two hits off of him. Or this was the day I hit my 4,000th hit or whatever. He's just really good at Twitter. Again, if you're a baseball fan, good follow for Pete Rose. In the realm of media, I want to give a hat tip to Evan Grant. Mm-hmm. Evan Grant is the butt of a lot of jokes. Evan Grant because he's just kind of goofy. He's a Rangers beat writer for the Dallas Morning News. He's kind of a goofy guy, kind of bald, kind of chubby, kind of hokey. This dude understands Twitter. He does a good job covering the Rangers. Most of our beat writers in town do. There's some others we're not going to get into. But the Rangers guys, they all seem to be okay. Evan does a great job of that. But beyond that, the portion of Twitter that brings value, the analysis and the snark, he gets it. He understands you're not supposed to take yourself seriously. He does a good job. So that's a guy I follow. I don't even really follow very many true, you know, writers with a capital W.
Is he the only one baseball side. For baseball? For the local beat?
Him and Jeff Wilson, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Those are the two guys. And Anthony Andro a little bit too. Follow
Isn't
him
that
too.
All of them, basically?
Pretty much.
It seems it's got to be a beating to cover baseball. To cover that all year? Doesn't that have to be brutal?
No.
You have to really love
it. I practically cover it. I mean, think about it. I pretty much cover it.
Yeah, you do.
All I got to do is.
But you don't have a deadline.
All I got to do is copy and paste all my tweets into one thing and add some grammar to it. Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely a grind. There's no doubt. I bet it gets old if you're doing it every night. But
and you don't get to travel as well as the team does.
No, definitely
not. You definitely don't.
Not in this day and age.
No.
That's why this guy deserves credit. He understands Twitter, and we have so much over-serious in the Rangers Twitter world. There's so much of people taking themselves too seriously. He's the opposite of that. He understands Twitter's there for partially for grab-ass and making fun of things, and he's good at that. I want to throw down on a couple of bad behaviors I've been seeing on Twitter lately. One has been very rampant, and I'm not saying it's not justified, but there has been a rampant outbreak on Twitter of fan critiquing your fellow fans and how good of a fan your fellow fan is of the team that you share. Rangers fans, Cowboys fans, we haven't seen Mavs fans yet this year. We'll see if the trend continues. But the last few months, so much fan, you're not a good fan because of this. Dude, sports is an emotional topic for most people. Their team doesn't do well. They get pissed. They're irrational. Whatever. They handle it in different ways. If things aren't going well, people handle it in different ways. You can't say someone's a bad fan because they had this opinion or that opinion after a loss or after a stretch of bad, you know, of bad performance. You know what I'm saying? You just can't do that.
I try to take emotion out.
You do. And with what you do, it's probably smart. There's some people, they don't need to take emotion out.
But even with, like, football, or if I watch an occasional baseball game, I don't really get that emotionally invested.
You're lucky. Yeah. You're lucky. Consider yourself lucky. Another thing is, we got to figure out what the appropriate level, we need to have a national dialogue, Brian, about what is the appropriate level of fantasy football tweeting. Because first off, if you're live tweeting your draft, go to hell. Just go. That's terrible. Nobody cares. If you get done with your draft and you're like, hey, I picked up so-and-so in the third, my buddies are ragging me, they're saying it's a stretch. Okay, I'm going to let that slide.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's banter.
There were some people that mentioned that, and then like it provoked conversation about our draft amongst me and my friends. So I can see where that's valid. I'll permit that.
You allow it.
But to go on live draft, first round, third round, whatever, and then to incessantly talk about who's on your team and how well they're doing for you, and you're not in any way analyzing the game other than that, it's a little too much, bro. Go open up a forum with your fantasy league. Don't give me that. Mm-hmm. Like, I even tweeted about fantasy football today because it pissed me off.
Today? You did it?
Absolutely, because Calvin Johnson is a horse. He's on my team. He's one of my horses. And I'm a grown-ass man. I can't be watching the damn football news wire service up until kickoff. I was gone. Like, I was out of here at, like, 10:30 this morning, taking my kid over to my in-laws. Then I go down to Fair Park, because I went to the state fair. Did I say that on the air?
Yes.
Okay. Then I went to the fair. And, of course, try to get to Fair Park from anywhere north. It's terrible. So it took forever. I pull out my phone. Calvin Johnson. 2 minutes before the game, Calvin Johnson's inactive. I was like, that's why a grown-ass man can't succeed at fantasy football. I quit. So, obviously, I believe there's some reason that you could actually tweet about fantasy football, but it's limited, man. Limit it.
Has anyone else drew the ire of you in the Twitter world lately?
No. I've been good. I don't want to just be picking fights all the time. Okay. I want to try and save those, pick my battles, you know? Okay. Final topic for today.
I have no idea what this is.
In the unnamed segment of unnamedness is coaching shorts. I want to introduce to the world the concept of coaching shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what coaching shorts are, right? those like spandexy bike, the brand bike always made.
Okay.
Those shorts that all coaches wore
in
the 70s and 80s and 90s, and there's probably still some walking around today, and they're always, they have a really, really tall waistband, you know, like this, like 4 inches tall waistband.
Carlisle does that with sweatpants now.
Like he hikes them up.
Yeah, they're up there.
Even if they don't hike them up, the band is, the band itself is like really tall.
He's got that
and
too.
Stretchy, you know, and it's like, it's like this polyester. Like, why do you wear those? I don't understand. And they always got them hiked up and like their junks, like you can see the silhouette. It's just bad. I've decided to use the coaching shorts designation for an opinion that comes from someone who's trying to be all, and not a genuine old man sports fan, which we've talked about in the past, but who's trying to purport some kind of represent, like, I'm doing things the right way, and that's the wrong way to do things. You just can't do that. Like, you just can't celebrate after that touchdown. Act like you've been there before. Nothing pisses me off worse. The first coaching shorts opinion I am going to debunk right now is act like you've been there before. You, maybe you haven't been there before, but even if you have, why in the hell? You know why, Brian? Have you ever been there?
Maybe.
Have I ever been there?
No.
No. We're never going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are there. That's an achievement. You've been there. You are there again. Celebrate. You're an, you're a pro, or you know, a big-time college player. Don't act like you've been there before. Act like you just scored a big touchdown in a big game on a big stage, boy. I'm all for it.
You double throat slash.
Double, triple, quadruple, quintuple throat slash. You...
You throat slash the
referee. The only people who say to act like you've been there before is old fat white guys who can't get there anymore. And we, and if that's the only thing that people are getting on you for, if that's the source of the, if it's the coaching shorts, the problem is, it'd be one thing if the people wearing their coaching shorts on these opinions were all like 50 plus, then you just kind of be like, that's just circle,
just
circle,
old.
Circle of life, right? We'll be that way in 20 more years. We'll be doing a pod, the coaching shorts podcast, bitching about everything. But
episode 747 of the coaching shorts.
But really what pisses me off is the, is kind of the douchey young coaching shorts guy. And there's been some of that on Twitter lately. And so I've started calling out coaching shorts. Keep an eye out for it. You will see it.
Has it happened yet? Have you done like a hashtag coaching shorts?
I think I have a couple times. I might not have used the hashtag. It's pretty new. It's pretty fresh in the brain.
I just got thrown off like a couple days ago with your avatar change. I was like, damn, y'all look exactly alike.
Me and Layla, I know. Yes. And she looks a lot like her mom too. It's freaky.
It's crazy.
Yep, that's all I got, man. Keep an eye out for the.
So I'm
gonna
have to keep an eye on. I keep an eye out already for the Twitter critic, and now I've got to keep an eye out for this. It's a lot to keep up with, but I'm willing to do it because it's very entertaining. It makes me laugh.
Twitter critic's tough because honestly, that could be a full time job, but you really can't devote that. You have to just pick specific things. Like I wanted to talk about Twitter critic for like 6 minutes. I didn't want to talk about Twitter critic for 40 minutes, so had to keep it short.
But you've got a new window now with basketball coming up to where that door can really open up.
Yeah, there'll be some new findings. Can't wait. All right, bro. Let's wrap it up.
We finished pretty much early.
Oh, man. Look at this.
Wow.
Look at this, y'all. The professionals call this a run sheet.
That's a run sheet that Ryland made up.
I did.
And we kept...
Highest paid radio producer in this town.
We kept up to it, and we went ahead
Sad,
of it.
It's true.
You get paid in...
I get paid in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Dude, that's great. Good job.
Good job by you. We nailed it. We even planned for the next show, too.
Good job,
we
good
have
effort.
We have ideas. So...
We got a preseason game with the American Airlines
tomorrow night.
The Mavs are playing...
The Pelicans.
Oh, shit.
So that... I can already count... I'm putting the over-under on 6.5 tweets from Ryland about a bit about the Pelicans.
I don't know. I don't want to beat a dead horse. You know, I don't
okay,
like...
Okay,
dead horse beating is a Twitter faux pas that the Twitter critic wouldn't approve of.
2.5 tweets.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably say something about how terrible it is.
2.5
it's terrible, dude.
Tweets.
We could just do a segment next show about how terrible it is.
So the preseason's getting going tomorrow for the Mavericks.
Watch a guy named Gal, because what else is there to really watch? Just kind of watch how Dirk and Marion run, and Vince, the old guys. Just kind of watch them. Look how they look on their legs. That's really about it. It's pretty ugly.
Yeah.
We're mainly going because we changed seats, and we just kind of want to check out our new seats.
Where are you now? I think you said this, but I forgot.
Like 204.
Oh yeah.
We're platinum now, yeah, baby.
I remember the platinum. Yeah. I remember the platinum, but I couldn't remember.
That's what happens when you cut your number of games in half. You can get away with upgrading.
You get to the Johnny Walker spot now. Don't you? No.
I think I'd have to really.
You'd have to really cut back.
I did get to go that with Tim last year. That was pretty sweet.
I remember that.
Okay. No, I'll just buy my own whiskey. It's cheaper.
Well, you'll have fun. You'll have fun in the platinum level.
Yeah, it's going to be cool seeing games from a different perspective because I've been in either 315 or 316 for 12 years. So I'll probably tweet a little bit about I don't know where the hell to look for everything because my brain's programmed.
You're going to have a hashtag platinum tweet.
No, I don't know if I want to big time everybody. You know what else always
you should do it once.
Gets me about do that? One See how many followers I lose? The other thing that gets me, what's up, camera? I think the camera likes this pose.
Look at my foot last week. Look at my crotch this week.
Yeah, so you can see inside there. you know what I always gets me is after a summer of watching baseball, go back to the arena. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, damn.
Sensory overload?
Four plays just happened while I was trying to optimize that tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I had more than 140 characters, and I had to change some words to numbers. I had to use /  instead of with, and I missed four possessions. So it is a little bit of an adjustment period, but it's the ride of fall, and I look forward to it very much.
That's the preseason for you. You get to adjust it to all that.
We're all in the preseason. Yeah. You'll write a crappy article.
Oh, it's going to happen. I already do.
It'll be good to go.
They happen all the time. So we'll have to figure out when the next time we'll jump around, maybe like in 2 or 3 weeks or something like that.
I think we should try to do one like right before the season jumps off or right after. Yeah. Just somewhere right in that like week time frame.
Yeah. That'll be good. So that'll be the last week of October is what we're looking
Should
at
be,
then.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll do, episode 78. We've already laid the groundwork for episode 1 of Coaching Shorts.
It's going to be an awesome podcast.
It's going to be amazing. We'll be talking about how Layla's getting texts about stuff, and you're like, you're not leaving the house. Yeah. Give me your phone.
Going to be like building Ghostbusters 2, that big shell that covers that museum. You know, that shell of... It looks like foam insulation is what it looks like, but that was 20 years ago. That's what we're going to spray around this. It's going to keep everybody in.
Yeah. So we'll be back the last week of October. You can find us on Twitter.
Go to Twitter, man. Twitter is really the place to interact. If you want to talk Mavs or just talk anything about life, Brian's great at giving advice, and he loves giving people personal advice about their lives. No, I'm just kidding.
Did I do that?
No, never.
Oh, I was like,
it's like the exact opposite of what you would do. That's why I said that. He's balling with Brian, BRYAN. You can find him there and enjoy. He's a good volume tweeter during Mavs games and afterwards.
Every year it's a goal. I'm going to keep the volume low during the games.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Only really big things that pop up.
Throw a little analysis
or a little quick nugget during a timeout.
Yep. He's got the after game situation.
I blow up after the games. I can't help that.
You've got that scene on lockdown. And so if you're interested in that and you want Mavs coverage, Brian is the guy for the job. You can find me on Twitter, Rylan, R-H-Y-L-A-N, Rowe, R-O-W-E. I'm getting real close to 400 followers, which by all accounts is way less than I should have, according to some people who have way more followers than me. People that have more followers than me. Important people.
But the important people follow you. That's what really matters.
So I would love to at least get to 400 at some point. So tell your friends, tell your mama, tell your daddy, tell your sister, tell your uncle, tell your cousin.
I realize as the followers go up, the comments coming back aren't very great.
Yeah, you just got to deal with it, man.
So you can't. You have to be careful what you ask for.
I can deal with it. I'm not Jamie Newberg. I can deal with people asking me dumb questions.
Can he not?
He doesn't handle it right. No, that's my number one beef with him. Uh-huh. He answers dumb questions, ignores smart questions, and gets derailed by dumb questions.
And he avoids being a lawyer.
I don't know, man. That dude. I don't know. Want to know what his schedule is for as much time as he has to spend doing his Rangers thing? I bet he's like working nonstop. Like he's just never sleeps. Me, I need my sleep. I couldn't do that.
Right.
So find us on Twitter, Mavericks Outsider Report podcast. You can find us on iTunes. Just Google Mavericks Outsider Report. You'll get an iTunes link. You'll get a Podomatic.com link. Go to iTunes and search for us and subscribe for free. It'll be delivered every time we do a show automatically.
You get a free account to listen to the show.
We're giving away free iTunes accounts. Mm-hmm. Just put in the code MOR. And it'll go to your iPhone, your iPod, whatever it is you use automatically. It'll be there if you listen on your computer. And be on the lookout for my man Brian Gutierrez and his new platform. He's going to be looking to launch a website before too much longer to start shocking the world with great sports coverage.
Before we go, I favorited this tweet from Media Day from Chris Herring from the Wall Street Journal.
Chris Herring, the guy that played for Boston?
No, the drug guy? No, different guy. He said, asked Meta World Peace if he's more comfortable playing small forward or power forward on defense. The answer, quote, I'm most comfortable in the bed.
And that's why we like him.
That's Meta World Peace for you.
All right.
So we'll be back last week of October. Thanks for everyone that listened or watched the show on the stream. You got to see Rollins' foot. You got to see the inside of his crotch. And we appreciate the listeners. We'll be back when we're back. Enjoy Mr. Miyagi's shirt.
And that's it.
In Rylan form. See ya.